Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
The holidays are in full swing, and there's no better way to show your favorite Sinisterhood listener that you care about them than with a subscription to our Patreon.
With hundreds of hours of bonus content, including weekly segments like True Crime Headlines, Judge Christie, Am I the Asshole, Dear Sinister, and so much more, you're sure to win Best Present Award this year, which is why we all give gifts in the first place.
Exactly. So pat ourselves on the back. With the temperatures dropping, be sure to deck your halls and your loved ones with some cozy Sinisterhood swag as well. We have hoodies, beanies, mugs, all kinds of cozy stuff. But we are most excited about our newest t-shirt design. It's available for pre-order now, featuring our podcast logo right on the chest. So they know what Sinisterhood is. You don't have to explain it anymore.
No, and I love a black t-shirt, especially with that purple logo. It looks slick. For everyone on your nice or naughty list this year, head to Sinisterhood.com and click on Patreon and shop on the top banner. Happy holidays!
The residents of this quirky town offer you the chance to step between realms and communicate with lost loved ones. Its town motto is where Mayberry meets the Twilight Zone. But is this place the site of an energy vortex that makes otherworldly communication possible? Or are the residents ready to take you for a ride? This week's episode is Casadega, Florida, the psychic capital of the world.
A bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. It's bittersweet. This is our last live show.
It was. Well, I guess
not forever.
To release. Yes. Of the tour, we still had the Dallas shows. It's weird because it's already happened, but it's like we're in the past, but also the future and the present all at the same time. What is time? But nothing. Yeah. So this is the last one that we will be releasing for the year, though, and it wrapped up our tour apart from the one-off in October in Dallas. So it was a nice way to end in that tour. It was sunny, sunny, sunny Florida. Hot as fuck.
Just melt you right inside
God
and
damn,
out.
Melt
you front and back. But we got to travel to this quirky place you're going to hear all about. I love any kind of an instance where we get to go physically see the place that we've read about. Because you see photos and you think, they can't be that ridiculous in real life. And it beats it. Oh boy. And more.
What a fun place this was. And do you know what I found out since? That this city, for a while, my brother, who works for a major TV company in the reality television department, they were going to do a reality series about the village. What do they call it? I forget
it's
what they call it.
Camp.
The camp.
Encampment.
At Casadega. But it didn't end up working out. And I said, well, you need to revisit that because there is a lot of material here.
So I would watch an entire series.
Hell yes.
Week after week of what's going on in this lovely place. It's truly an entire city where there's street names, mediumship, and spiritualist way. There's all kinds of fun street names. People live there. And then you could go yourself and you go into the main building and get a name out of the binder or off of the whiteboard who's available that day and roll right in and your life will change.
They tell you what you already know, what you don't know, what maybe you don't want to know, maybe some shit that isn't necessarily true. Who's to say? But it's fun because this was in July. It's now December. So you all can listen to the past and see if who we're calling Gail to protect her identity, what she said to me, you, and Leanne. And then did it come true?
I will. Well, TBD, I will say this one is better than Tammy in Salem.
Yeah.
So
a hair. Tammy was more of a character. Tammy entertained me more. But Gail had air conditioning.
Yes.
And Tammy didn't. So that made a huge difference.
Gail was wearing shoes. And that was cool.
Did Tammy not have on shoes?
She wasn't wearing shoes. No. She was
the
not.
Amount of emails we've received since that of people being like, oh, yeah, you don't go to that psychic studio in Salem. It's like, it's a total scam.
That is Heather McKinney 101, walking into and falling into a tourist trap, just right on in and going, I'm here. Let me in.
I think I am the one that suggested it based on the curb appeal. So that's on me.
This is a good friend, though, because I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it. You'll propose things to me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm in almost always. I'm almost always say
all
yes.
The time. That's one of the many things I love about you.
Oh, well, many things I love about you is how much you just encouraged me throughout this. You'll hear me ramble on about Bradley Cooper's genitalia, and I got no judgment. So thank you for that. So y'all will just keep your ears picked for that. There's going to be some dong speak. So
I still haven't seen the movie. Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
Let me know what you
think. Maybe that'll be Tommy and I's movie. We usually like, oh, no, wait, I forgot. We're binging Black Summer right now. Great. If you
What's
guys
Black
haven't
Summer?
Seen it. It's, is it on Hulu? I forget where we're watching it on. It's a, well, I don't want to give too much away.
Is it like an anthology series or it's a television series?
No, it's like
series?
A series. Oh, okay. And in the description of it, it's like this harrowing series recommended by Stephen King. So we immediately started watching it. But it's very good. Like each episode follows a different character. And then you know how those things go and the story unfolds. But that's the most vague thing I can give without giving
too
much
away. I know
you
don't like spoilers. And I managed to tell you all about Bradley Cooper's sexual organs without spoiling this other movie that we'll reference in the episode. So all of you have homework now. You'll listen to this and then afterwards go watch Nightmare Alley. It's not called Revenge of the Nightcrawler, which I accidentally was confused. So that's on me. But we hope you enjoy
it. Type of worm making its way around the city.
Hey. But yeah, we hope you enjoy this episode. Like I said, probably the last live show that's going to get released in our feed because we're changing things up with how we're going to do stuff going forward. So relish it, enjoy it, and the magic of Casadega rub off on you.
It was great. We had a great time. I look forward to going back. We've said when it's cooler, we want to return, which I think is something we'll now do.
Not July, the reality,
like
Beyond.
October.
January.
But yeah, the coldest month is when we will go back. And I'll probably suggest some weird stuff and you'll be totally on board. So,
you know,
as always, we'll have a great time.
Every time.
Hello. What's up, Orlando?
Hi,
how y'all
guys.
Doing?
You guys are right in front. Nice.
We like the wooing at the topic. We're glad you're excited.
Yes, we're very excited. We went today.
We did.
Woo!
What a time.
Woo!
We have had a time. We have had a time. I must address, though. We're in Florida. We're doing it Florida style. Let's get fucking Florida crazy, baby. So we got some frozen drinks. 10,000 degrees outside.
Can we get some daiquiris close to the show? And can you, like, put fruit in it and stuff to make it look real Floridian?
Fancy on
stage. So they were very nice and did that.
I also have on...
If you know, you know. Heather's got on the Crocs.
We have on our Margaritaville Crocs. We want to make sure everyone can see.
Model them around.
They're great.
I'll tell you what, they will be used in the show later because there is a functional shot glass and a bottle opener on these bippies.
I can't get it off easily.
Used them last night. It was a lot of fun.
It'll be great.
We lost the shot glass yesterday before the show, and you would have thought that an Amber Alert was needed. Heather was panicking. She called the hotel. We found it. Leanne found it. Leanne, as usual, saved our lives.
Saved the day. So saved the day.
Saved the day.
I text my husband, who could not be here with us, unfortunately. He's back in Dallas. Boo, Paris. No, I'm kidding. But I texted him and I said, I'm so devastated. I lost a shot glass giblet off my Margaritaville Crocs. And he just goes, well, I hope it's lost somewhere in Margaritaville. And just like got over it, was done. And I was like, have you no soul? You don't understand what this is doing to me.
He doesn't get attached to materialistic things.
Zero attachments.
You know who else doesn't? I don't know. Spiritualists? Maybe.
Ooh, with this
they
one.
Seem like it. They did not get too attached to materialistic things out there.
No, it was. It's all about the higher realm, the secondary realm. So we are very excited that we got to visit this place today, not too far from you all.
Have y'all been? Yeah? Okay. All right. It's weird as fuck, right? Yeah. Maybe a cult. We can all say maybe a cult. We don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Leanne was talking about living there, so I'm not opposed to it. Just saying, I was like, so everybody lives here, and they all believe the same stuff, and there's a board you sign up on to, like, tell people what to do. Okay. Okay.
I'm always like, if you could leave, it's not really a cult, right? The door's open.
Yeah.
That's one way to keep it. Like, they didn't put a fence up, right? There's no chain
link. No, you can drive right in and out.
Yeah, you're good to go. Although, yeah, we were driving in. I was like, I don't know if we're allowed to drive through here. But you are. You're good to go.
Yeah,
as long as it's light out. It was light out. It was.
We had a reading.
We did.
We'll call her Gail.
Yes.
Is what we decided. And we will talk about Gail's predictions slash descriptions of people she saw around us at the time.
I have one that I haven't told Christy yet because I wanted you all. I wanted her to hear it when you all heard it. So I saved it. Saved it for you. Saved it for the stage. I'm glad that they all cheered because our topic yesterday in Tampa, we asked the Tampa local, like, do you know about this? And he just went, no. And you're like, oh, cool. I have to go talk to like 100 and something people about this later. I'm glad I picked. So this was great that you all have been there. You
know
get
about
the
it.
Reference. Even if you can't, we'll describe it for you. But it's not very far. So I would recommend taking a trek.
I kept saying, I don't know how I'd never heard about this before, because if it's the psychic capital of the world, I feel like everybody should know about it, and I had never heard of it.
They're trying to keep a low profile.
Or are they? Because it's very open and welcoming, so I don't know if they are, but they have. So, but now we're talking about
it. There you go. It's going to be flooded.
It's going to be like the California Gold Rush. Everybody moving to Casadega are going to hate it because they seem like a tight-knit community that don't want us fucking it up. So
they do.
But
they do.
We got some great crystals and some other fun stuff.
I did. I got several books. Yep. I bought some pens. I got a tote bag. I asked the gal behind the cash register. I said, oh, this is a purple pen. Why purple? Does it have some significance? And she said, it is the color of spiritualism, and you're in a spiritualist camp. So, and I was like, oh, fuck
idiot.
Me then. Fuck me then.
There was some subtext. There was some subtext of you fucking like, idiot is what comes next.
I know where I'm at. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we gotta get into that. So you ready?
I'm always.
All right. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. All right. Religions and philosophers across the ages have attempted to determine what happens to us when we die. In the late 1800s, a movement began that tried explaining just what transpires after we all take that leap into another realm, and also provide comfort that those who had passed on were just a seance away.
This was the trend of the day.
The seance. They had a seance tomorrow night?
Correct, tomorrow night at 8 if you're
not
busy.
They have weekly seances.
Friday night seances.
Dude,
oh, there's an expert.
What better way to spend your Friday night?
I'd go, 100%.
I said, we got to go back when we can spend a weekend here, and I got to see how it all goes.
I was going to say,
I want them to have their own docuseries.
For sure.
I feel like we all need to know how everybody got there. I want to know how Gail got there.
Mm-hmm.
I know she's been there 6 years, and she used to live in Milwaukee.
But apart from that, I don't know anything about her life. I need to know about her. Yeah,
a full backstory. I'm surprised you mentioned Colt. I thought you were going to get sucked right in. I was like, I'm doing the show alone tonight. Christy's going to stay because it's everything. It's everything you love.
It's everything I love. No, that's why this is the first time where I'm like, I could see myself getting sucked in, and I want to go on record that I'm not saying it's a cult. I'm saying most cults start this way.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying this is going to turn into a cult. It is not a cult. And let's hope it stays that way because they've got some good things going.
I've joined a cult, though, recently.
Two?
Well, accidentally.
Aren't you a member of two cults now?
Well, technically, I am a card-carrying member of the Church of the Subgenius. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can perform religious ceremonies now. I accidentally joined the Wild Wild Country cult on accident, remotely. I was following
and,
his teachings,
and recruited two people.
Yeah, I started passing out the booklets.
Before she realized, wait a second.
He changed his name. It was a good scam because it worked on me. I didn't know he was a salad bar poisoner guy. Fully thought he was just like a prophet. I was like, these words are great. People, I would follow this guy. Turns out a lot of people did. To the end of the earth, they tried to murder a senator. It was a whole deal. I was real late to the party.
Most people think it was, I can't remember his...
Osho.
The woman is the one. I can't remember
Sheila.
Sheila, she's the one that most
I had to watch the Wild Wild Country afterwards because I need to know what my people did.
Well,
there. Turns out they're not my people. I would like to describe it as thus. You're walking down the street. You see a flyer for a dope rave. You don't know that it was like a vampire party. And you show up afterwards when it's just a guy sweeping with a broom going, yeah, you missed it. It was fucked up in here. And that was me. I was like, went there afterwards. I did call a couple friends to come before I saw the inside. So I was reading these tarot cards and I loved them. And I was like, man, I use them for everything. The third cult's the parrot head. So all that to say is I'm susceptible.
Oh, yes, you've hit the trifecta, the rule of threes. Now you're a parrot head.
Of
all the ones you're a member of, I think that's the least problematic.
Yeah, the parrot heads, I think so. They do good. They ride around on coolers. That's just efficient. So
that's fun.
Come on.
They have fun shoes.
I might, and if I declare this on stage, I'll probably do it. I might go to Antarctica with Jimmy Buffett in December.
He is going to Antarctica.
He's going to Antarctica on a conservation mission, and I was like,
he's very
going to Antarctica.
Conservation efforts, which is great. He's actually super nice guy, very stand up guy, very progressive. Donates a ton of money to great causes, so I'd go to Antarctica to see him.
I mean, what other time am I going to go? And no better person to go with than JB.
You take the sunshine to the coldest place in the world.
There's no place that Trop Rock can't warm up.
That's true. That should be the Royal Caribbean motto or whatever cruise line this is on. I feel like it could be Royal Caribbean.
It could
Caribbean.
Be an RC. Yeah. Yes, it could be an RC trip.
Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah. Well, according to Smithsonian Magazine, the early days of spiritualism developed with the Fox sisters in New York during the 1840s. It became so popular, even Mary Todd Lincoln held seances in the White House after her son Willie died of typhoid fever.
And I learned about the Fox sisters from actually friend of the pod, Victoria. She has a podcast called Crime Traveling.
Give Victoria a round of applause. Most of you probably know her.
I was on an episode of Crime Traveling, and I learned all about from Victoria the Fox sisters. It was a whole odyssey. Could be a whole episode onto its own. But this was the hot thing of the day in the late 80s.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Come on down. Everyone now wants to make a charcuterie board. Back then it was like, what dead relatives of yours are you going to bring to the table with you?
Well, that was like the pastrami. And then someone else brought like some cheese cubes. It's the same.
Fig
just
jam.
Food now. Yeah. Oh, I love a jam.
Love a jam.
I love a fig jam and a manchego. That's what I'm bringing. But that's like the weird relative that nobody really talks about, you know?
They're like, that's who's visiting you. And you're like, that's who's visiting me? All right.
That was my reaction to my reading today. Gail, we'll call her, kept saying, I'm seeing a man. He's wearing like a farmer's hat and overalls. And he has like a hat on. It's like plaid and it's pulled down. He's kind of chubby, but not really. And I'm just... One, I was wearing sunglasses, which Heather was like, you wore sunglasses to a psychic reading? I was like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't take them off. She didn't ask me to.
You're like, read me now.
I dare you.
I'm like, you're the fucking sunglasses emoji just in this lady's house.
Yeah,
I
did.
I don't know.
For 15, 20 minutes I had them on. But I kept saying, nah, I know I don't. And she'd be like, all right, here's another person coming in. Nah, I don't know. I don't know.
Your relatives got fucking rejected, or it sounds like a cast member from Northern Exposure.
Yeah, I know.
Tried to visit you, and you were like, I don't fucking know.
And then eventually it ended with, well, maybe it's somebody you haven't met. And I was like, I want to know when I'm going to meet a, like, 87-year-old man wearing a plaid flannel newsboy hat.
You'd
when am I going to meet that person?
You'd be surprised.
I'd love to know. And you know what? I probably will tomorrow. I'll probably sit next to him on the plane. And then who's laughing? Not Gail.
Nope.
She knew. She knew the whole time. The interest in communicating with the afterlife came into vogue after the Civil War, when roughly 2% of the population, about 620,000 soldiers, died. With that many families having lost brothers, fathers, sons, and husbands, there was a demand for mediums and psychics who could help the bereaved deal with the loss.
I think, like anything that develops out of tragedy, it's ripe for taking advantage of a
exploitation.
That's the word. You know what? They should have a word for that when people take advantage, and it's called exploitation. But that's what, you know, there was a lot of books I noticed on, like, healing after loss, finding love after loss, moving on after loss. And I was like, I could see why, if you were super hurting, you would be drawn to a place would hope it is on the up and up.
I think that's why, you gotta go certified. People are drawn to a lot of things in the face of loss. They're looking for guidance. Unfortunately, sometimes people take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
One of these mediums was George P. Colby. Born to a pair of Baptist parents in New York in 1848, Colby would emerge as a leader in the spiritualist movement in the latter half of the 19th century. When he was a young boy, his family had moved to Minnesota. There, his faithful parents decided to baptize their young son in a pond outside during the freezing Minnesota winter. When young Colby was dunked beneath the partially frozen lake, he claimed that the veil between the spirit world and the living world was made thin, meaning he could see between the two. He was just dying,
I think
is what happened.
If you were like,
he was drowning, he had a near-death experience.
I need to see Jesus. Dunking your ass in a Minnesota lake in the middle of the winter. You see
partially
Jesus.
Frozen?
You see Jesus.
Who goes up to a lake that's partially frozen? Like, let's put our child underwater.
It has to happen. You're like, a bathtub? They're like, no. No.
My dad wanted to have me baptized in a river.
I got baptized in the public swimming hole in Mesquite.
I ended up getting, I know, and I love you for it.
You got a river? Was it a real river?
No, I didn't. They wanted to do a river. I ended up doing the pool at the church.
Oh, the church pool.
It wasn't a pool. It was a baptismal pool.
Oh, it was legit.
It was like the size of this thing. The size of this table is filled with water. You get dunked back in it.
Was it just you?
In the thing at the time?
In the cubby?
Yeah, man. Yes, I was just me. It wasn't a double baptism. That would have been sweet. I wish my brother had been next to me.
I got triple
dunked
baptized.
At the same. Triple?
There was three of us, and we slid down the water slide, met the preacher at the end.
No, you did not.
Yes, we did.
You got to slide down a water slide?
Yes, we did.
I didn't get shit.
Yes, we did.
I didn't get shit except a promise for eternal salvation, whatever.
Yada, yada, yada. He kept going. He was like, I so wanted to be fit in with the cool Baptist kids so bad.
Usually aren't put together.
Well, you're not from Mesquite, Texas. They were the kings. It was Mean Girls. It was Regina George with a freaking crucifix.
The cool girls were Baptist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Damn. You went to my school, the cool girls were Episcopalian.
Damn. Baptist girls do it different. No, because I technically am one.
If you're Baptist, get a t-shirt that says that.
Baptist girls do it different.
And wear it to Wednesday night?
Oh, yeah, it was Wednesday night. That was the cool night. You had to go out.
You had to go.
Oh, if you weren't there.
That's the only reason I ever went to church.
Was it cool?
For social aspects.
I had a crush on a guy.
I was forced to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I went to an Episcopalian school for...
Oh, yeah.
From kindergarten through eighth grade. So every week we had to go to chapel three times a week. And then on Friday we had Eucharist, which was when we had communion.
Damn.
Yeah. And then in between we find time to learn about real stuff. Just joking.
Down at the pipe.
The pipe. This was before the pipe.
Pre-pipe.
Pre-pipe. This was pre-pipe.
Pre-pipe era. Yeah. That was the only way to be cool, was to join up with one of the cool churches, like the Jets and the Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think if you get dunked in a frozen lake in the middle of the winter, you'll see Jesus, and he's going to be like, the fuck are you doing down here? Get out.
Get up.
It's cold as hell.
You're about to die.
Get out.
About to be with me forever. You're going to meet your maker if you don't yank your head up. Colby honed his abilities as a medium as he got older. He eventually became so dedicated, he was forced to leave the church after displaying his newly discovered gift. As an adult, the only way for him to make a living was to charge admission for public demonstrations of his otherworldly skills.
This reminds me of that movie with Bradley Cooper where he gets a hand job in a bathtub.
What? What movie is this?
It was 1 second of like a 4-hour movie.
Is this the one with Lady Gaga?
Nope. Wouldn't that be nice though? No.
I would watch Lady Gaga give Bradley Cooper a handjob. Movie or personal tape.
Anyway.
Either way, I would watch
that. If they're having fun, for sure.
What movie are you talking? Is this where he takes the pill to get...
Revenge of the Nightcrawler? What's it called? Nightmare Alley. Not Revenge of the Nightcrawler.
I've never heard of this. Revenge of the Nightcrawler, also a movie that needs to be made. And the Fresno Nightcrawler gets his revenge. He's just like... da-da-da-da-da-da. Wreaking havoc. How does he kill people? He doesn't have arms. We'll figure it out. It's still being workshop. What is this movie where he gets a handy?
It is great. It's a great film. It is 37 hours long. It's like so long.
I've never heard of this.
Long. Yeah, it has Cate Blanchett in it, and Bradley Cooper gets a handjob, so much I remember.
By Cate Blanchett?
No, by the mom from Hereditary, if I'm not mistaken. Toni Collette.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it's like the 1800s, and she was like, it's only 5 cents. And I was like, oh, I wonder what inflation. And I typed it in the catalog, and it said $200. And I was like, damn.
Whoa.
And then I saw I accidentally put like $50 instead of 50 cents. And I was like, oh, no, that wasn't inflation. She was undercharging. Unless for everybody else who was here and for him, she's like, 50 cents? Because you don't want to cheapen it and be like, I'll do it for free, Mr. Cooper. Anyway, I talked about this too long. Check it out. It's on HBO Max. It's great.
Where are you going with it?
I was just thinking about...
Always thinking about Bradley Cooper getting a hand job.
Yada, yada, yada.
24 hours in a day. 22 of them are spent with me thinking about Bradley Cooper getting an HJ.
I don't remember. I'm fuzzy on the details, but there was a psychic that charged tickets to see their psychic.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also,
okay.
No spoilers. But you're going to be watching out.
I'm 100% watching this.
Every scene he walks in, you're going to be like, is this the one?
Is this where he gets the hand job? Well, it has a bathtub. I know that.
There you go.
In his medium practice, Colby developed an ongoing relationship with a spirit guide he described as a Native American named Seneca. It was at a seance in 1875 that Seneca convinced Colby that he needed to head to Wisconsin to meet another medium. Together, the two mediums would travel by train to Florida to find a spot where Colby could develop his own camp, similar to one called Lilydale in New York.
I don't want to ever seem like I'm a doubter, because I generally believe stuff, but isn't it convenient for someone to be like, you may not want to listen to me, but there is a Native American, a wise, and you're like picking on these tropes and topics, and he's like, listen, I know I'm a white man, but it's not my idea, right? It would be a good way, I think, to like put it off.
Kind of like we're covering... Give you a little insider. The next episode, two-parter, is on the Teal Swan cult. And we talk about that, too.
Where it's, like, very convenient to...
Yeah, she married a Indian man with a British accent to further her place in the New Age field.
It's almost like white people are very comfortable...
Almost.
Using people, marginalized people as pawns for their financial gain.
Isn't
that fucking shocking? I didn't mean to blow your mind tonight, but listen, that's fucking true. That's just
true. You didn't know you were going to hear first tonight on this stage.
But also, if suspension of disbelief, Seneca was real. This is a real Bill and Ted situation. This is George Carlin right here. Mm-hmm. He's like two buddies. You're on a mission. They don't need a phone booth. They've got a railway car.
Yeah. Same thing.
Sending them on an adventure together.
Well, this is just what Colby and the other medium, T.D. Giddings, did. The pair ended up in Jacksonville, then traveled further south to a place near Orlando. Everyone just went, at Jacksonville. Y'all got beef with Jacksonville?
Are you beefing?
Are you from Jacksonville? Okay, they're from Jacksonville.
What's up?
So it was a good, haha. I don't know where, if y'all draw lines in cities, if you got cities against cities here or not.
It's like people don't know that, if you're in Dallas and someone's like, we went to the Bleachers concert and he was like, I was in Houston last night and the crowd just went, boo! And he goes, from Brooklyn.
They were very nice and they were glad I was coming to Dallas the next night.
No, they weren't.
You assholes.
They would never be
more
like,
whatever, Houston sucks, we don't take it back. So everybody hates each other in our state,
well,
but it's nice that you guys get along. Especially, no. Oh, you don't?
Uh-oh. Cool.
So you're just like every other state. Okay, good. Cool.
Infighting, cool. Jealousies.
Yeah. Man, y'all know how hot it is here, right?
Dude, my ass.
Goddamn.
I'm sweating.
Like, we're from Texas, and it is very hot. But the past 48 hours.
Walking on that.
Been.
It's black asphalt.
Goddamn.
Like the blacktop, the smooth asphalt all throughout Casadega. And we were like, let's walk to the fairy garden.
It was a four-minute walk. Why? And we each saw God because we were so close to the veil from near death.
I told you, I said,
it was miserable.
Feels like the sun is reaching out and pushing my face down. Like,
it was so gross.
You said, and I wrote it down, you said, this heat is disrespectful.
It is. I hate it.
I go,
if I lived here, I'd be single for the rest of my life because I don't look cute, humid.
No.
Like, I could never do my hair.
Damp as fuck.
I'd be sweating constantly.
You, like, every date, like,
so oh, it'd be so fucking gross.
Where do you work? What is it that you do? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
I'd
be like,
I'm listening. I promise.
No.
I'm listening. It's like,
I moved to Casadega. I'd live next to Gail. I'd just hang it up and hang up my wind chimes and all my fairy lights.
Done.
Sounds like a great life, quite honestly, except for the heat. Yeah. Well, in his medium practice, Colby developed an ongoing relationship with a spirit guide. He described... Oh, did I read that?
Yes.
Yep, I did. The area was chosen by Seneca because of its inherent power. It allegedly sits on the same ley lines as Sedona. Ley lines are believed by some to indicate the flow of energy between prominent locations on Earth. Spots along ley lines can be epic centers where certain powerful people like mediums can harness the energy. The newly chosen place was also the spot of an energy vortex, also similar to Sedona. According to the city's official website, the vortexes are
swirling centers of energy that are conducive to healing, meditation, and self-exploration.
The lake at Casadega is thought to be an energy vortex.
Take off all your clothes.
We didn't see the lake, did we?
Get in the lake and explore yourself.
Did we see it?
No, we didn't go that far. We stopped at the ferry village, and I think it was good to go. I mean, what am I going to see that's different about this lake than other ones? It's probably round. There's water in it. It's great.
I wanted to explore the fairy garden, but I found a bench, and I could not move after that.
She was going like this. It's about as big as this room.
I see it. I got it. I'm fine. I see it. Oh, man.
Yep. Looks good. And you took your camera and did one of these, and you're like, all right.
Yep. I was good.
I'm going to sit here. It's fair enough.
It's one of those sweats where you don't realize how much you're sweating till you sit, and you're just sitting for a second, and then you're like, I am fucking drenched. It was wild. Colby and TD ended up in Jacksonville. Oh, God damn it. Sorry, my computer keeps jumping around. In the beginning, Colby and his followers were only spending winters in Florida, smart, and returning north each summer. They eventually set up a more permanent residence and stayed in Florida year-round. By the early 1900s, more and more people became interested in the area. A Daytona Beach newspaper called the camp
a cult,
but wrote how it was charming and full of
entertainment, restful scenes, and many comforts. Go join. It's fine.
I agree with all... I'm not going to say it's a cult. It was entertaining, restful scenes.
It's very restful.
And seemed very... It seemed as if... We don't know if you apply and they assign you a place to live, but there's all these buildings that are called like Harmony Hall, Brigham Hall, almost like dorms in a way.
And then there's also individualized houses. And when you're certified, you can apply to get a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pay like a fairly low rate. And then like there's an ongoing fee that you pay to maintain. It's like HOA-ish.
Yeah.
So, you see like if this was... your chosen faith and that you, mm-hmm. you know, this is what you want to practice. It probably is very like healing and energetic
for sure.
To be around other people that believe that. And then they also get together and do like group seances. You stay charged. You got to stay charged.
Yeah. We did not see any of the vortexes. I did want to visit them. I think we would have been sucked up.
Yeah. It's taking us. Take me.
Honestly, if I knew there was a vortex in the middle of the lake, I would have said, take me. Tell my kids I love them. If I'm cooling off in this lake, that's perfectly fine.
Like, kids, mama baptized herself in the Casadega Lake and she didn't come back out. So I'm your guardian now.
Probably gators. We've been on the gator look and we haven't seen any, but
don't bring that negativity into our life.
I feel guilty because I kept telling Heather, we're definitely going to see a gator. Because I lived in South Florida for several years. I saw them every day. So I'm like, they're everywhere. They're just walking around. So she thought, like, we just see them everywhere. We haven't seen one gator.
Not one.
I know. If not y'all one. Know where we can find one. Where?
Niederland.
Oh, Gatorland.
Oh, Gatorland.
Oh, I've been to Gatorland. I went to Gatorland as a kid.
Titled Gatorland.
This is the gator farm I was talking about.
Well, I might get up
where
early
you
in the
they put the raw chickens up on a rope and they jump out of the water and
it's
grab them and eat them.
It's a rite of passage for Floridians.
Yeah. Yeah, or just kids on a road trip. That's where we were. Eventually, the area stretched over to 50 acres, upon which several buildings and homes were erected. The Andrew Jackson Davis Building houses the Welcome Center, as well as the camp's bookstore. The camp's official website calls the building the
hub of the community
and refers to Davis as
one of the great seers of the ages.
Completed in 1905 as a lecture hall, it has since been used for community events like concerts, plays, parties, and potluck dinners.
It is a risky deal because if somebody accidentally leaves off the Davis,
it's Christine's not like, Andrew Jackson.
She was like, "Is that the Andrew, the genocidal guy that would beat the shit out of people with his canes?" No, it's not him. It's a different
Andrew
one.
Jackson.
You know what? He's like, "I'm keeping the name. I don't give a fuck." That's like when we were driving in the parking garage. We drove up and I saw a car backed in, and I thought, I didn't know it was a car. I thought it was a man because there's a life-size printout of a good-looking guy. He's got his arms crossed and he's looking. And it said, Michael Jackson, realtor. And I was like, fuck yeah, lean in. That was your name too. You shouldn't have to change it. And if people call you and they ask you, not for a house, maybe for some entertainment, I don't know.
And he was younger than Michael Jackson.
Yeah, he had
so
that
he
name
was
afterwards.
Named Michael Jackson.
But I just have
after Michael Jackson
a ton of respect for someone who's like, I'm not going by Mike. I'm not going by Mikey. My
I'm
name is
going
Michael
by MJ?
Jackson. Thank you.
Mm-mm. In 1922, the Hotel Casadega was built. Made entirely of wood, the hotel was a landing spot for out-of-town visitors or new residents who stayed in its rooms while their homes were being built. On Christmas Day 1926, the original hotel burned down. They built a Spanish Revival hotel in its place, complete with fire-resistant materials to avoid another disaster.
Yeah, back in the 1900s, it was freaking three little pigs where they were just like, it's just wood, pick the driest wood. Whatever you can get your hands
Some
on.
Some things you got to learn the hard way. And yeah. One of those is you need things that are fire resistant if you want to live inside of them. What did we recently cover?
It's just good advice. Have you checked your house recently? Maybe you should. Go home tonight. Call your homeowner's insurance. They're going to be like, why do you keep asking about fires? What are you planning? I just need to know. Okay. I need to know. Before
My favorite
Christmas.
Thing is when you buy kids pajamas and it says in a huge tag, do not get close to flames. And you're like, who would?
Hey, go over there and push some of those logs, Junior. It's like, Daddy, but my tag. Mm-hmm. I don't listen to tags. Push them.
Mm-mm. The hotel claims proudly on its website that it is haunted. Many visitors have reported feeling the presence of spirits or even capturing otherworldly shadows in photos taken on site. The hotel definitely leans into the creepy lore surrounding it. On a BBC show, the hotel's manager proudly proclaimed they have two kinds of spirits, those you can drink and those you can feel. So proud of that.
Love
they
it.
Were.
She like turns around and says it on the staircase. And I'm like, fuck yeah, girl, you landed that
you
joke.
You wrote that.
And the host is like, ha ha. I'm like, don't give me the Jim Halpert stare. That was a great joke. She crushed it.
Don't be above this. Laugh at that. Support this. It's your interview.
Yeah, that's a good-looking hotel. We went there.
Yeah, we did. We wanted to eat there. We didn't have time, but it did look haunted.
Oh, yeah, it's an old spooky place.
It's an old spooky, especially the hallway down where the rooms are.
Yeah, yeah.
It just, it's look never-ending, and it's all wood. And you went into a little meditation booth.
I did. I went into a meditation booth, and I said a prayer to a figurine that was in there, and I asked for it to give us all the blessing, so I hope... It said, she will come to you, she will honor you, she will show you her love. So I hope so, because it was lovely meeting that I didn't know what to say. I was awkward. It said, all you need to do is say the prayer. And I was like, and thank you for letting me be in your booth. And I know that spirit was like, shut the hell up. You're finished. You're done. I'm supposed to bless you now. It's like when I accidentally took the fucking communion and I was like, no, because I'm not Catholic, but I was at a Catholic service. And he just kept going with the wafer, and I was like,
"Don't
I was
try." Like,
I'm actually not. He's like, "You're not supposed to talk. Take the wafer." I was like, "Oh no!" He was the tag-in priest.
Did you take it?
Yeah, man. I wasn't gonna spat the body of the Lord on
no,
the ground.
No, you shouldn't. Did you drink the wine?
No, I skipped the wine because they knew me. They
what?
Were like,
"That's the best part."
It was a visiting priest. It was a church I go to with my friend. We went to the buffet afterwards. So I was like, "I'll sit through Catholic mass for a buffet at the end of it." He was great. His homilies were fantastic. But yeah, the other servers knew. They're not servers. Are they called servers? Altar folk. They
no,
knew.
No, it's not a restaurant. It's a church.
They were like, "Did you get one to refill
the altar
wine?
Boys?"
These were grown up
children.
The
okay.
servers, the altar servers. But yeah, they. I mean, they were just like. Wow.
Acolytes. I'm like, I believe that's what they're called.
Altar servers.
They're called altar servers? What the fuck
depends.
Do I know? I only went to an Episcopalian school for 9 years, but I blocked it all out because it was traumatic. So I don't remember. Just kidding. I had a great time. It wasn't traumatic at all. That's for legit. It was not traumatic. Like, I actually enjoyed my time there. Visitors have seen orbs floating in their rooms. One guest on TripAdvisor wrote,
"I heard a low ghostly whisper in my left ear that said, 'Are you?' Unfortunately, it did not finish the question."
That's a bitch.
And not too long after that, I felt something icy encompass my left hand.
"Are you finished with that?" I think that's what they're asking.
You'd be like,
"Are you going to take the last sip? Are you horny right now?" Oh, something icy cold encompassed my left hand.
Either.
Hand on hand.
That's right. That's the first step.
Cold hands, warm heart.
Hand on hand action. You judge a lot by touching somebody's hand. That ghost knew.
Another guest felt.
An eerie feeling in the hallway.
Someone else heard a little girl's giggle down an empty hallway. That guest is one of many who complain of the sound of children playing and roughhousing on the upper floors of the hotel where only guests are allowed. This is particularly eerie as guests must be 21 years or older to stay in the hotel.
So either lack security or haunted. Well, TB, I'll let you be the judge. You go and stay
those
there?
Those two, I think it's more likely it's haunted than a bunch of children getting in there after dark.
I didn't see anybody under the age of...
I saw one girl that's probably like 10.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't see a youth.
She was in the bookstore.
Maybe she's a giggler. We gotta find out. The Phantom Giggler of Casadega. That sounds like a fun Boxcar Children book. Mm-hmm. Is that still a thing?
A boxcar?
Wasn't that like
what's
a...
What's that?
They like solve mysteries on trains.
Oh, I didn't know them.
It's like a kid's book series or like a Babysitter's Club.
Okay.
The Phantom Giggler of Casadega. We're going to get
that
it.
That does sound like that. Diana, the hotel's owner, told American Way magazine that the activity is pretty centrally located, saying...
"Most of our spirits tend to stay on the second floor and in the attic, though I found the children are harder to keep in one place. They love to explore."
Even in the afterlife.
Right? You can't sit the fuck down for 5 seconds. You're dead! Sit down!
Sit down! Shut up! You're dead! God damn! You're
can
like,
we watch TV? Can we play?
How can you throw shit off this table still? You're a ghost! God. One frequently seen spirit is Gentleman Jack, an older-looking ghost who is fond of female staffers and visitors. Diana told American Way,
"Young, old, he loves women, touching their hair or tapping on their shoulders. He's a real jokester."
That's what they called those people back then. Jokester.
He was hilarious. Mm-hmm. He'll just pull your hair. It was funny. He's kidding.
If you want to conjure up a spirit, rumor has it a ghost named Arthur loves gin and cigars. If you're hoping to see him, it's wise to set out a glass of gin and a stogie to bring him to your room. The hotel's owner wants to make sure you aren't just on the lookout for the smoking, drinking ghoul, saying,
"It's not just Arthur. There are so many friendly spirits here."
She's got beef with Arthur. She's mad Arthur's as popular as he is.
She's like, Arthur's gotten too big for his britches.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of the rest of you... Kids, I'm talking to you. Crank it up a notch.
Step up your game. They're like, all we've got is giggling and throwing balls down the hall.
Oh, twice as many balls. As many balls as you can get.
All the giggling.
Sinisterhood will be right back. With Masterclass, you can learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, at your own pace. You can learn how to write songs with John Legend, improve your cooking skills with Gordon Ramsay, or learn the art of storytelling from Neil Gaiman.
With over 180 classes from a range of world-class instructors, that thing you've always wanted to do... It's closer than you think.
MasterClass is accessible on your phone, web, or smart TV, offering classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields.
Each class is broken out into 10 individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. Members can explore at their own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, and more.
Learn how to write anything from a book or a screenplay to just a letter. Learn how to communicate with your boss or your family. How to make dinner worthy of a Michelin star, or just how to make really good scrambled eggs. Whatever you're interested in, there's a class for you. And I love the MasterClass app because you can also listen to it audio style. So if I'm walking the dogs, I can listen to it. And because there's downloadable material, I don't feel like, oh gosh, I'm not taking notes. I have to go back. Mm-hmm. I can just go back and then review what I listened to. And it like reinforces my memory. Also, I realize I'm allowed to re-listen to things. Like, I don't have to be perfect every time, and it's on demand. So rewind, pause, faster, slower, it's all there.
I gave a MasterClass subscription to both of my brothers last year for Christmas. It was a huge hit because y'all know I love a subscription gift. But you, if you give them a annual pass, it's unlimited. You can mm-hmm. watch as many videos as you want. So what better way to say I love you this holiday season, apart from our Patreon subscription, then giving someone the gift of knowledge and learning? That's invaluable, Heather.
Especially from experts like FBI Special Agent John Douglas. What's he up to?
Yes. Oh, y'all know what John Douglas is up to. He inspired Silence of the Lambs, Mindhunter, all those cases that we're so familiar with. He's interrogated a lot of infamous criminals like Manson, John Wayne Gacy, and in his MasterClass, obviously, we're not going to be interviewing serial killers, but the same tactics that he uses, everybody can use in their personal lives, at work, to help you read the room, be better communicators, know when people are lying or telling the truth. You can apply it to pretty much everything you do in life. We highly recommend that you check it out. This holiday, give the perfect gift of an annual MasterClass membership and get one free. What better gift is it than when you give something and then you also get one for yourself?
My mouth is open. That's
your
such
mouth
a good
is a gape right now.
Go to masterclass.com/creepy today. That's masterclass.com/creepy. Terms apply. Helix Sleep is a premium mattress brand that provides tailored mattresses based on your unique sleep preferences.
The Helix lineup includes 14 unique mattresses, including a collection of luxury models, mattress for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. You try out your new Helix mattress, see how your body adjusts, and if you decide it's not the best fit, you're welcome to return it for a full refund.
Every body is unique, so Helix offers models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions, plus enhanced cooling during those warm months so you don't overheat at night and wake up in a pool of your own sweat. I'm speaking from experience, but not anymore, not with my Helix.
No, those days are gone. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz. I was matched with a Moonlight Luxe mattress because I wanted something that offered support for when I do sleep on my side, but also does have that cradling foam because I do end up on my stomach some nights.
Mm-hmm. I have the Sunset Luxe because I usually sleep on my side, but honestly, I also flip around, and no matter what position I'm in, it's great. And also the motion transfer, minimal. I can barely feel Tommy flopping all around on the other side of the bed. Not only is the mattress the best I have slept on, but the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. By supporting Helix, you're allowing them to support us and our show. Go purchase your Helix and thank us later for your best night's sleep.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/creepy. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
But the scariest part of all may be the hotel's age and lack of updating. There's no hot water after 10 p.m. No phones or TVs in the room. And according to online reviews, bathrooms where
nothing functions except the toilet.
There was a...
What else do you
need
to function in there?
Yeah, right? A sink?
I guess. You probably want to wash your hands. Maybe shower. This reminded me of the Stanley Hotel. Because it's just like, it cracks me up when someone doesn't correlate that they see a place was built in 1926 and they're like, this was not the Four Seasons. And you're like, you know, yeah, look at some pictures, buddy. Or maybe just like get the idea when you pull up in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. But when we went to stay at the Stanley, we ended up sleeping there, but we were nervous at first because the TripAdvisor reviews were like, these motherfuckers don't have air conditioning. It's a piece of shit. I'm like, it's 40 degrees outside.
It was snowing.
Open your fucking window. Which, by the way, opens with no screen, and it's about
jump right out.
Knee high. Oh, yeah. I could have jumped on that roof and made it work for it.
Easily. Yeah.
Easily.
But things were built different back then.
Yeah, it just kills me.
Do you want historical stuff that's cool?
Yeah.
Or do you want the hot water after 10 p.m.?
You know what?
You make the decision.
What are you doing after 10? Shower earlier. Make better plans. If you want to go to a place where everything historical has been leveled and built into a very convenient air-conditioned place,
come to Dallas.
There you go. It's called Dallas, Texas. We have no history. It sucks. There's like one or two buildings, but
we did have a president that was assassinated there. But they keep trying to paint over the X. Everybody keeps spray painting on the street where he was shot. So even that we can't keep.
Can't keep anything
nice. People
are
trying to cover it up.
They'll bulldoze it. They'll be like, "Well, that was the X. We put a condo there." You're like, "That was a roadway." And they're like, "Not anymore."
Built it right on top.
Yeah.
At least once a week, somebody paints that X.
Oh, yeah.
And then at least once a week, it's recovered up. Just let it be. We all know what happened.
I like to think that it's...
CIA, I'm looking at you.
The battle over the JFK X, I like to think that it's one city public works employee and one fucking guy out there selling newspapers, and they just see each other, and they're like... Like two cowboys ready, and one of them's got the spray paint, and one of them's got the remover, and they're just like... Shaking it at each other.
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed.
Blows by. Well, when writer Jess Swanson visited the Casadega Hotel in October of 2020, she had a different encounter involving a bathroom ghost. A fellow guest at the hotel's bar complained to Jess of a run-in at the lobby bathroom, saying,
"I heard an old woman grunting in the bathroom stall. She smelled like old lady, like Estee Lauder or something. I accidentally, bumped into her stall, and I apologized, but the woman didn't say anything. And then when I looked under the door, there was no one there. There's a phantom dumper and a phantom giggler. We got one of each."
Is there much worse than old lady smell in a bathroom?
It starts to swirl up.
Yeah.
It's a cocktail
no
one
wants. You're like, "Oh, it smells like a bathroom, but with old lady cover up."
Yeah.
That's the worst.
No, that's bad. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I feel bad for, because I know sometimes we say spirits repeat certain patterns, like they're not aware that they're in other surroundings. Like, I think my parents' house is haunted because the former owner had an incident in the driveway where a car crushed him, and his wife came out to help him, call 911, all that. And I see a spirit running down the hallway. So I think she's on this loop. If you feel like you had unfinished business, and my God, the worst business unfinished is grunting to dump out in a hotel lobby bathroom. And that's what you just repeat for eternity.
Your own bathroom. Where your comfort.
No.
And this bathroom didn't have
books.
Water after 10 p.m.
No.
So after 10 p.m., your loop is just nasty.
It's terrible.
They turn the water back on in the morning.
No wonder she was grunting in there.
No, yeah, I'd be pissed. Once you leave the hotel, you can head out to see the spot described as one of Florida's most unusual footpaths, the Horseshoe Park and Ferry Trail. Hikers along the quarter-mile trek have said to feel an overwhelming sense of calm and relaxation. Others claim they are inspired by the art in nature. Small fairy homes are incorporated into the natural beauty. I felt things, but they unfortunately were not calm and relaxation. It was, I think I might die of a heat stroke. But there were lots of great fairy little houses and cute things.
I have extensive photos that I took
please.
And haven't showed you until this moment.
You disappeared.
Yeah.
You went down a path, and I didn't see you for quite some time. So I don't know what you took pictures of.
I went to another realm. Spoke to me. First of all, I saw this Precious Moments doll leaned up against a shaped object that says the word irresistible on it. What does this object look like to you?
What does this look like to me?
This thing that says irresistible?
A dick.
Yeah. You can't see it. I'll post a picture on the internet eventually. But that's all you need to know. It's a little angel, Precious Moment. She's looking up, holding a flower, and just leaned up like James Dean against a wall. She's leaned up against a penis taller than her.
It's a full head taller than her.
Yeah, it's a good 2.5 inches taller than that thing.
So walking through the garden, I'm like, all right, garden, speak to me. If you think that I need your message, and I saw that, then I saw a pig, which I thought was appropriate cute. For you.
Oh, there's a lot of cool shit back there.
I saw a bell. It looks like that some folks, with good intentions, my new thing is I like to assume everyone has good intentions and is trying their best. And when they dumped a bunch of McDonald's Happy Meal toys, I am going to trust there was a reason to do that. And so I did see there's a hippo, which Leanne likes. There's a rock that says Emily. My friend Emily from high school recently texted me. I was like, this garden is speaking to me in all these different ways. And there was a very cool, what do you call it, a wind chime made out of forks and knives.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, that's just smart. Upcycling. You got those sitting around. Yeah.
There's a flamingo.
Big-ass flamingo. Nancy McKinney loves flamingos. There was a pineapple upside down.
Swinger gnomes. Swinger fairies.
And it's next to the Busy Bee Honey House. So you tell me.
They're busy getting fucked.
And there is a gnome that looks exactly like the gnome that
David
I took.
David the gnome. That looks like David the gnome.
Actually, that manufacturer is the same gnome I took with me on my high school New York trip. And I put him in every picture. And it was from Walgreens.
Like the Travelocity gnome.
It looked like the Travelocity gnome. Absolutely. I thought it was so cool. Like, I'm a senior. I'm going to take pictures of the gnome. What a dork. I'm fucking dork. But I saw that gnome there, so I think it was speaking to me.
It was probably the same one. He's made his way. So you reunited.
I think that gnome's still at my mother's house, like many things from
or
her childhood.
Is it?
Fuck, it got away.
As it moved here. Residents of the city and their neighbors weren't always operating on the same wavelength. In order to perform mediumship services inside the camp as a certified medium, providers must follow the restrictions put in place by the camp itself. However, those rules weren't stopping uncertified seers from taking clients on county land just across the road from Casadega or even inside the Casadega Hotel. See? You got to take advantage. Well, you're taking advantage of people.
Yeah,
exploitation.
You don't know who's going to just set up shop there. And if your name's on the sign, you might want to, you know, make sure there's a vetting process.
It's like if you, in Texas, if you get into UT Austin and then somebody from UT Dallas says, I go to UT, you're like, no, you fucking don't.
You go to satellite
school. Same thing.
School.
If you're like certified by the Casadega people and you have and you're certified medium, then somebody else rolls in town, you're like, you didn't go here. You don't have a diploma on your wall.
Yeah, just something to know they've been vetted. And I like that more than half of the people I saw signs for were like Reverend Maggie Johnson.
That's a ton.
Certified medium. I'm like, fuck yeah, as a fellow Reverend, what's up?
Yeah.
In the search of the subgenius.
We had to take the medium that was on call, and there was only one, and she was not a reverend, but had she been, you would have had a great opening.
That's right.
Immediate connection, reverend to reverend. In the late 1980s, the camp leadership made changes, reorganizing the camp's legal status and changing how voting on important issues was conducted. This caused inner turmoil and grief in the camp. When one shareholder medium formed a rival group, there's drama. The camp canceled her stock, meaning she lost ownership and voting power in the camp. She told the AP,
all this bickering and lawsuits have drained the positive energy from this place. Boy, the reporters just couldn't get enough.
This is why they need a docuseries.
Oh,
don't
man.
You want to know the drama?
Oh,
the medium
sure.
drama?
The episodes titled
there?
Themselves.
Dude.
Didn't
no.
see that coming. I mean, come on. But that's what all the articles were like. Oh, I guess they're not on the same wavelength. I was like, yeah, that's a good joke. We're going to say that on stage. But yeah, I would always be like, oh, they changed the voting stock. I guess the mediums couldn't tell that. I'm like, you don't know how this works.
Uh-uh.
Go to Casadega, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. The battle between camp leadership and unsatisfied mediums was finally over in 1989. One astrologist, Hannon Leeds, told the AP,
there's no reason to fight. There's enough energy here to go around.
That's the attitude we need, Hannon.
See, that's an open, welcoming spirit, not beefing.
No, I felt like it was a very open and welcoming place.
Oh, for sure.
I wish we could have met more people that live and work there and gone on. Like I said, I want to come back in the winter. when we can. I go
spend hours outside.
Can't escape it. There's nowhere to hide. Mm-mm. It's just y'all got real blue skies, and there's not like we couldn't find shade.
Mm-mm.
It's great. It's your like weather's great.
If the United States is an automobile that's parked in the sunshine, you all are the dashboard. We're in the middle somewhere.
Texas
it's not
is
much
the steering
better.
Wheel. I feel like we're the steering wheel.
And the driver's seat that burns your cheeks when you sit down.
What's that one? Us too?
Yes. Yeah, it chaps my ass living in Texas, yeah. So feels right.
For sure, yeah. A decade later, the battle went from internal to external. In 99, an evangelical Christian church called the Dunamis Community and Outreach Ministries held a revival at Colby Lake Park. They used a public address system that was so loud it disrupted the camp's temple services that morning. Soon after, the congregation's leader decided he wanted to build the first Christian church in Casadega since the camp's founding over 100 years prior.
And he, clearly people were not stoked about this, especially when someone comes to town, starts hollering over your meeting that you have every
That's just
Sunday.
Rude.
But yeah, he's like,
the church
great.
Is still there. We passed it.
We did. We passed it. And he was just like,
first thing
great.
You see, really.
No one else is there. I cornered the market. Like, he was the first one thought to put a Subway on this corner.
Mm-mm.
I'm like, you're just.
There was already
Read the
something
room.
Here.
Read
there
the
was
room.
Already, there was we already got something here. You don't need to come in.
We're good to go.
Go do your thing in another place.
We're good to go.
Yeah, we're okay here. Initially, the county denied the request. Residents of Casadega were concerned about the potential for increased traffic, possible environmental ramifications, and potential for stepping on the beliefs of the spiritualist. A neighbor, George Tatry, who was not a spiritualist, told the Orlando Sentinel.
They're going to try to convert people in Casadega. That is the object of their church, you know, gain more parishioners.
Dunamis' church's leader, Reverend John Farrow, didn't disagree, admitting that the church's mission was to
evangelize the world. Coming in hot and not denying it.
Yep. I mean, at least, you know, there's not going to be an argument there. They're like, yeah, we are here to take over.
In addition to the friendship between the neighbors and one another, I like the folks that are not spiritualists that live nearby. And they're like, they're great. Like, they're pretty quiet. They're cool.
Oh, yeah.
They let us know when
got
there's
a good energy,
traffic.
There's a good vibe everywhere.
Yeah, if you got a setup shop somewhere and you're like, I don't really believe in it, but is there like some runoff I'm going to get? Like some environmental? It's like positive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although the zoning proposal was initially struck down by the county, Farrow and his church sued in federal court and won. They were able to build their church just a two-minute drive from the Casadega Spiritualist Camp.
And you're correct. We saw it. We passed it, right? I mean, it's right on the way. You can't miss it. I was like, hey, that's the church that had to sue to get here.
As the Lake Helen residents wanted to make it clear that the mediums were not part of their community, so do the Casadega residents want to make it clear that the nearby Devil's Chair is not something they created or condone. That hasn't stopped tourists from conflating the two, and it's an easy mistake to make if one is not familiar with spiritualist practices.
Yeah, there was a local newspaper article from like way back when from Lake Helen residents writing to the newspaper being like, can you please publish this and let everybody know that just because the Casadega mail comes through the Lake Helen post office, they're not part of our city. I'm like, you should be so lucky to have a bunch of fucking psychic mediums part of your city. And they were like,
I would
just
love
so you know.
A neighborhood of psychic mediums.
That's
please, everyone move there.
She's going to move there.
You think I'm going to?
No, I think you'll go and visit, though.
I totally want to go back and visit. 100%, yes. Located just a mile from the spiritualist camp, the Lake Helen Cemetery has gained a reputation for housing what some call
the Devil's Chair.
It is a brick bench located in the cemetery, but in the dark of night, it is much more frightening. Legend has it that a person sitting in the chair at the stroke of midnight will see the devil appear before them. Others say that the devil may not appear, but those sitting in the chair with their eyes closed will hear the voice of Satan whispering in their ear.
Are you gonna finish that?
Are you done with that? And then you feel a fiery hot hand on your hand. Yeah.
We saw a devil's chair. It wasn't the one in the cemetery. It was the old recliner on the side of the road. But I like to think if you sit in that at the stroke of midnight and close your eyes, somebody will
Same
whisper
thing
in
happens.
Your ear.
Yep. And you get a hand on you.
Yep. Hey.
For sure. For those too afraid to undertake the challenge, you can have a more hands-off encounter with Lucifer. All you have to do
is sit a cold, unopened can of beer on the chair. When you return in the morning, the beer will be empty, though still unopened.
You know, they're like, through the bottom.
Yeah. And then somehow put it back up. Yeah.
Put it back down. Melt it back together. Yeah, that's, I love that. That it's, you got to leave him a beer. He's a cool, he's like, got a parrot head. He's got this,
oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got his little
he fucks
opener.
With Crocs, for sure.
The devil fucks.
Fucks with Crocs.
How else, what other kind of shoe is going to work for your cloven hoof?
Oh, that's true. Walking across hot coals and shit?
No.
It's these
you
babies.
Got little cushions.
This is
patented material.
Yeah.
This is off-road. You can off-road on these things.
You put those straps up, you got devil mode.
Dude.
Do whatever you want.
Full on.
No,
full
yeah. Because you do have to use those things when you start to get a little sweaty.
Yeah.
They'll just fly right off your foot. You've almost lost one a couple times
I
now.
I have. That's why when I first got them, I was like, oh, these little bumps down in here. This is nice. It's like massaging. I'm like, no. It's like if you got out of your shower without a floor mat on your feet permanently. So, yeah, it needs the grippy. It's for safety and a little bit of pleasure, but safety mostly.
The creepy legend actually sprung out of something much sweeter. Louis Gates, a historian in the area, told Weird Florida.
Oh, there's nothing to it. Kids all started that story. The real story goes back to a man who lost his wife. It was a quick death and unexpected. This was back in the 20s. She was buried in that cemetery, and he would walk there each day and sit beside her grave. The man had arthritis real bad in his legs, and the walk was real hard on him. He needed something to sit on, so he built that big brick chair so he could rest beside his wife's grave. There are all kinds of stories, you know, if you sit in the chair, the devil will talk to you. It's all just a story. It really had nothing to do with the devil.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Nobody wants that interview.
Fuck!
Nobody wanted that answer.
God!
Just make it up.
Yes!
Don't. That brought the whole room down.
It just
not this
me.
Room, but like this journalist.
Just like,
was
like in life.
Really?
Like,
you couldn't have just made something up about how this is the devil's chair?
The recorder ran out of tape, so I'm going to end this interview. It's nice to meet you, though. But that it is, I like to think that if it was in the 20s, clearly he's probably dead now. If he was old enough to be married in the 20s, I imagine mathematically would work out that he's probably not around, so maybe he's the one, and he doesn't want anybody to sit on his chair, and so he'll be like, I'm the devil, motherfucker.
Oh, I like that.
Leave me a beer.
Get out of my chair. Leave me a beer and get out of my chair.
There's, I mean, you
I
built
respect
it.
That.
It ain't my nature chair. Is
no.
Your name on it? Is that your wife's grave? I
get
didn't
out
think so.
And leave me a drink on your way out.
Might as well.
Even if the chair did belong to the devil, neighbors in Casadega wouldn't be bothered, as they don't believe in him. According to the FAQ on the camp's website, though they believe God is infinite intelligence and Jesus was a great spiritual leader, they do not believe in the devil. Writing,
our theology does not embrace falling from grace or sinning. Therefore, we do not believe in a devil. We believe we alone are responsible for the benefits or consequences of our actions. That's very enlightened.
I like that.
I do love their whole website. It's very clear. They have a FAQ, which I imagine there's probably a lot of frequently asked questions about a place
and
like
they
that.
Compiled all of them and put it in one place for our convenience.
Very neat. I'm not going to lie to you all. Aside from having a crush on a boy, the reason why I gave my soul to the Lord in that public swimming hole all those years ago.
And the buffet. You had a lot of reasons to give your soul.
Yeah, I went to the Catholic Church for the buffet. I went to the Baptist Church
for the boys.
Yeah, that doesn't make me sound very nice.
No, I think that's great.
Also, if I got baptized, they told me not only I get water park admission, I also got a cake with my favorite Bible verse.
What?
Yeah, they had a cake.
I got screwed out of my baptism.
I got nothing cool well, at all.
You're welcome, America.
Damn, did you pick a cake?
Yeah,
I got it. What was your Bible verse?
I picked, it was like Romans. I feel like it was Romans like 8:12.
I know nothing but John 3:16.
And that was from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You could say anything right now, and I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I have no idea.
I don't think that was it.
That one's fucked up. We are committed to resist sin. That was not your quote.
There's no way.
No way.
No way.
I can't.
No way. It was Romans something.
A lot of people quote Ecclesiastes. Is that one?
Yeah, that's one of them. I mean, people quote a lot of them.
Yeah, but I hear that one around a lot. I hear Ecclesiastes around.
I hope it wasn't Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But what if I did pick that?
You were horny as a kid.
Because it didn't say the words of the verse. It just said Romans 8:5 or whatever. They would have been like, yeah, this is great cake. I'm like, yeah, it is. The sins of the flesh. You like that cake? Because I wasn't there for the right reasons. But all that to say, the devil belief stuff, the guy that I won't, it sounds bad to say he lured me into the church, but that's a little bit how it happened. He looked
A grown up?
He was a grown up adult. It really upset my mom. He would AOL instant messenger me. I promise it was above board. In theory, yeah. Someone goes, he was grooming you. Let's process this trauma together. He was.
I mean.
Man came to my house and goes, let me come to your house and talk to you about Jesus.
How
it was
old
like
was this
30
person?
Some odd 2 months.
30?
He was an adult.
How old were you?
Ooh, I could drive. So 16, 17. And it was late at night on a weeknight. And my mom's like, you're not going anywhere. And I was like, my mom said I can't leave. And he's like, I'll come to your house, but I'm not going to come inside. So I go,
it's illegal.
He goes, meet me outside. We're going to sit under the street lamp and talk about the Lord. And I was like, I'm going to go out and talk to this adult grown up in the darkness about the Lord. And mom's like, all right. Sitting on the porch, just like,
Did you talk about the Lord?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard. So I'm sure if you've been to the stereotypical Baptist church, that it was a lot of fire and brimstone discussion. So we did have
about how he should be in hell for the horrible thoughts he was having about you, about the immoral and illegal thoughts he was having about a minor.
There's some low-ass self-esteem I have that I was like, he wasn't grooming me. Oh, fuck. Fuck, I was my goodness. But That's a funny bit, though.
You have such low self-esteem, you think a pedophile isn't after you.
I was like, yeah, he's not
coming. That's a funny joke.
Me.
As a comedian, that's a funny joke.
Yeah, it is objectively a funny. But he talked a lot about the devil, and then, when they're like, we want to have you all baptized, and they're like, everyone say out loud why they want to be baptized. And everyone was like, I want to give my life to Christ and all that. And in my head, I was like, I'm not trying to go to hell. And they kept going, it's not fire insurance. You can't just do this so that you won't go to hell. And I was like, but would it work?
Is there a buffet?
Is there a first of all, probably.
Your words were Golden Corral.
Yeah, I was like, what time is this over so I can go? And we would go to the World Buffet sometimes. It was great.
The World Buffet?
It was like
Wait a second. Completely unrelated.
Go.
Did y'all know? Yeah, we all know about Disney World.
Fuck.
But did you guys know that, what is the fucking name of it, Heather?
The Action Spot. No, wait. Fun Spot.
Fun Spot America?
It sounds like a sex toy. So
we drove past this place and I said, is everyone seeing this or did we just travel into a portal where this is like, because we were like, is it open? We didn't see anybody.
There's so few people there.
There was like 4 people because it was 1,000 degrees and it's just cement. So I imagine people didn't want to be there.
A commercial for this place?
I don't know how we've never heard of it.
I'll be there in a fucking second. The Liberty Swing, White Lightning, Freedom Flyer, The Mind Blower, Hurricane. Well, that's a harmful name in this area, given what frequently
happens. It's a roller coaster.
And then it is a
splash pad. They shouldn't name the splash pad the Hurricane.
Yeah, right, there's water there. Sense. And go-karts.
And what is that? Wait, something coaster? What is that thing?
The sky coaster.
No.
Come fly.
It's like a big, you know those swings you put in your front yard for kids that are just nets? It's like that, but 1,000 feet in the air, and you're an adult, and you're strapped to it, looking down.
Huge opportunities. They will match your salary. So,
okay. Really? Pull up an email. Let's see.
Apply online.
I'm going to send, Fun Spot American email and be like, here's what I make. Can I come work for you? And if they say, yeah, we'll match it. Okay, Heather. This is how I get to Casadega.
You got to be driving distance to Casadega.
Yep.
Looks like they'll hire you on the spot, is what it says. Probably
on the spot. Wow.
On the spot.
Well, in Casadega, it is still business as usual, even 128 years after its founding. Having been around that long, the camp has seen its fair share of media attention over the years. The brand Bright Eyes wrote a song called Four Winds, in which they sing about
retracing my steps all the way to Casadega to commune with the dead.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers released a song, Casadega, in which he sings,
think I'm, I,
you don't have to sing.
Not in Casadega, I hang on every word.
I've never heard that. Do you know that?
I listened to it after I found it.
I should have.
Yeah. I went to a Tom Petty concert. You guys, he didn't play it. And then he died like 6 months later. So,
well,
two for two on accident. Now he's killing celebrities. We got to go see Tom. I missed a wedding. I missed a friend's wedding because I was like, I got Tom Petty tickets. I'm going to that. I'm sorry. Have a happy marriage. Love you. But I got to go see him before he dies. And he died like 6 months later. I'm a fucking monster.
Same thing happened to Betty White.
Fuck.
And last night, let's just all say a prayer for Bob Barker. That's all
I didn't
I'm
do
say.
Anything.
Because Heather put it out there.
I did not.
That we may not have him for much longer.
She blames me for the death of Betty White.
I don't blame you, but I think you contributed to it. A little bit.
All I said was that they were having their 100th birthday extravaganza at a movie theater location near you. And to buy a ticket, and mom's like, I want to buy a ticket. And I go, fuck, what if she dies before then? And she did. She fucking did. She did. It is. Okay,
like
well.
2 weeks
all right.
before.
I didn't say
before.
I wished. I just was like, damn, that'd be
Bob Barker's
fucked up.
98. We're trying to get him to 100. So we need two more years out of this, Heather.
All right. Well, I'll stop thinking about him, I guess. Don't think about Bob Barker. Now you're all thinking about
Bob
Barker.
Now you're all thinking about it.
Maybe it'll even it out.
Petty had never visited the spiritualist camp, but wrote the song on an airplane after reading an article in the New York Times about the place. He later said in an interview,
there are all kinds of psychics and fortune tellers. It's this really small place, and I wrote that by putting myself in the mind of someone who went to Casadega. Though I spelled it wrong. Poetic license, I guess.
He spelled it Casa, separate word, D-E-G-A.
Like a house in Spanish called Dega.
Yeah.
Which I have a question, because he read an article about it.
Yeah, did they misspell it?
No.
It was the New York Times. Yeah. No, the New York Times usually doesn't misspell stuff.
They make a crossword puzzle, so if they did spell stuff wrong, none of us are ever going to get the Sunday puzzle, because the shit's all spelled wrong.
I think it's interesting to write a song about a place you've never been to, you've just read about.
He's Tom Petty.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to question him. He can do whatever he wants, yeah.
That baller attitude.
The town was also profiled in the BBC's TV show Around the World in 80 Faiths. Despite being an Anglican vicar, the show's host, Peter Owen Jones, willingly participated in a séance. He sat around a table of mediums with their hands on the tabletop. They laid out a trumpet to see if the spirits wanted to use that to contact the group. They also called for the dead to tip the table, making this a classic
table-tipping séance. And he's in it because there's they turn the lights off and everything. And so the night vision camera's on him. And he's just like, oh, the whole time. And then afterwards, he was like, they were making me say some stuff that's like borderline I'm not allowed to say as a vicar. It was like, he was trying to dip his toe in and he just sort of went boop, right in the water.
So, sometimes you dip in that toe in and they just yank you right in and you can't get out until it's over and done with. Table tipping seances involve a group sitting around a table with their hands on top. When spirits want to communicate, they move the table in certain ways. Of course, this is ripe for exploitation, as tables can be modified in advance. Participants can wear hook-like apparatus strapped to their arms, or tricksters could collude in advance on when to tip the table.
So, yeah, that is the issue, is that you say, if you are here to talk to Christy, talk to Christy.
And then they
shove the table at Christy.
Yeah. It's like when you did a Ouija board with your friends, and there was always someone that was pushing the little planchette around.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then you take all your hands off.
And then it goes... and then you burn your house down, and it's your own fault. And then you call your homeowner's insurance and go, listen, it was the materials, okay? It wasn't the Ouija.
Like, why are you asking about fire?
Wait a minute.
I don't know. It came upon us suddenly.
They're like, you knew this was going to happen. Were you going to get a Ouija board? That's not covered.
Scientists also believe table tipping is a result of the idiomotor phenomenon or reflex, sometimes called IMR.
This is sometimes what happens when people participate in a Ouija board session. By having participants concentrate and then using certain trigger words or phrases, a person conducting a seance can generate an automatic or reflexive response from the participant's hands.
And this is very interesting. It is. The way that it's actually, and I think if you you can fast forward through the Bradley Cooper hand job if you're not interested. I don't know why you wouldn't be, but this is part of kind of what they're doing in that film. And because it was based in carnivals back in the 1920s and 30s, this became more in vogue when you would charge people tickets to go to something. They want something physical. You know,
they want something to happen.
Yeah, when you're like, oh, I see
you don't
a
leave
spirit.
Disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, I see a spirit around you. That's not quite as powerful as like the shit shook, the trumpet flew off the table.
It blew. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even in our reading today, several times before Gail was like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to guarantee you. That some spiritual activity, some spirit, and we were like, okay,
this
you
is a men's warehouse.
Guaranteed it,
men's warehouse style.
Guaranteed it. I mean, I don't know that it didn't happen. So
that's
she
magic.
Said several people appeared to her around me.
You just haven't met them yet.
I haven't met them. There was like six of them.
God,
there were a lot because I kept going. I don't know, and then she'd be like, all right, well, moving on. And then it'd be like, okay, well, there's a new woman. I'm like, I still don't know. And then there was one person I was like, that could be my grandma. It wasn't my grandma.
No,
though.
No.
But, I mean, like, I felt bad. I told you, I want to help him out.
Oh, I'm a
but
yes
then
sir.
I'm also open-minded, so I'm like, maybe I just haven't met. Tomorrow, I'm going to sit next to an 87-year-old man
with
a little plaid hat on, and we're all going to shit our pants.
We're like,
because we're going to be like, this plane is fucking going down. Wait,
it's him.
This is what Gail was trying
and
to tell us.
And he just turns to you and he goes, Gail says hi. And you're like,
fuck. God damn.
No.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. God. Yeah, I'm a yes sir. Through the whole thing, I just was like, yeah, yeah. She's like, you take your time on decisions. You're not impulsive. Like, you really think things through. And I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oh, I didn't think that through.
Footwear.
I didn't fucking think that through. I said yes before. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oh, no. But then I had already said yes. And she's like, yeah, you're really like type A. You're very meticulous. Attention to detail. And I was like, I'm in too deep. And I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. That too. She was like, I can see your whole energy. I was like, oh, no. You're seeing a fake one. I've been lying to Gail.
See, I read on their FAQ that you should be honest, and that's why I didn't want to steer her wrong, so I was like, I wish I could say I see these people, or that they sounded familiar, but I don't.
No, she should. If I would have liked if she goes, I feel like you're a people pleaser, and you're going to just say yes to anything. I would have been like, yeah. Just that's FYI. Like, heads
nailed
up.
It. Yeah.
I'm like, palpable awkwardness when I'm like, actually, no, I make a lot of bad choices, and it's all due to my impulse control. You're like, oh, okay,
you're
well,
like,
I'm not a therapist.
Have you seen what I walked in here wearing, first of all? I bought these on stage for 3 times retail value at a comedy show.
Yeah, right. I'm like, I'll do it right now. Like I said, I about bought tickets.
Crowd
to
made her. If y'all just yelled out something for Heather to buy, she'd probably buy a ticket to Antarctica to see Jimmy Buffett right now. Because she's that impulsive. I would have to research it, and then I'd miss the concert. Because I'd still be researching it by the time the concert rolled around.
I don't need it. It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I love it.
I don't need any further descriptions. You said Jimmy Buffett in Antarctica. I'm in. Done. He's there like, you got to dig trenches
for penguins.
I try and
adopt it more. Sometimes I say, what would Heather do? Just do it.
Fuck yeah, jump in, baby.
Just jump in feet first. Is that I guess the least safe way is head first.
Yeah.
Feet first is more responsible way. You just dive right in head first.
My belly flop.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. Well, that may have been the case with Vicar Peter in the BBC show. After the group sang Row Your Boat and Jingle Bells, one participant said excitedly,
the table is starting to have a heartbeat.
The medium running the event then commanded the spirits to make themselves known. Soon the table began shaking back and forth. This indicated to the mediums that a spirit was present. Peter asked whether the spirit was there for him. The table indicated that it was. Then the medium asked,
intuitively, who do you think it might be?
Peter threw out a name, Alan. And the group around the table said together,
welcome, Alan.
I feel like he just mailed it in. He said the first thing.
He's like,
that,
my tax accountant. He's just like, Alan, is he in the higher realm?
George
he is
Glass.
Not. He's not. Yeah, he's not just, in the higher realm.
It was just the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, and you, it happens, stuff pops out of your mouth, and you're like, well, there's no going back now.
But then, maybe it popped out for a reason. That's, you know, right. Maybe it's somebody you haven't met named Alan.
Maybe if I would have said no, I don't know. We would have sat next to that guy on the plane later. I don't know. I think that's the good thing of this, of like, follow your intuition. They're like, go to whatever medium you feel led to go to, or like, pick whatever book you feel led to pick. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It empowers us to take responsibility for ourselves.
Which is their whole thing.
Yeah, that's
one
great.
Of their things, yeah. The table eventually rocked back and forth so violently that participants were sure it was moving toward the television host. Peter remained unconvinced, though in a later one-on-one reading, a psychic rightfully guessed that Peter's father was a doctor, despite him never having told her.
And this was impressive to him. And he's like, he's not a skeptic so much as he's an Anglican vicar, and he'll go to like snake handling ceremonies or all different faiths.
It's a very fun show, or a very interesting thing that he does.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it's such a, I like it because he does go in kind of with an open mind, but he still has his own beliefs. And he was just like, boy, when she said doctor, it blew me away. But they show the footage of the rest of it. And she was like, he loved cameras. He was always taking pictures. And he was like, no. So your brain kind of, I think, hangs on to the things that make, that you want to hear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, doctor isn't an outlandish profession. So it's, you know, there's a good chance that maybe he was. You just throw a bunch of spaghetti. Well, eventually something's going to stick.
Right? Broke clocks right twice a day. Not that we were like adhering to Teal Swan's feet, like, teachings, but both of us have been like, yeah, it's like she said in that video, and we gotta be like, uh-oh. It's wild, wild country again. I gotta be careful.
Casadega is world famous and has been immortalized in several songs. It is a spiritual beacon for all who visit there and draws visitors from around the globe. But in the end, can you legitimately get a spiritual reading inside the camp's gates? Harry Houdini, the celebrated magician and escape artist, was not particularly fond of spiritualism. He thought the practice was unethical and misleading to those in mourning. He spent much of his career trying to debunk the practice and also participated in a public feud with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, author of the Sherlock Holmes series, who was a staunch believer in the practice.
This was some diss tracks going back and forth.
God, they need a show. This needs to be a show.
Everything. We're the development department of our own network that doesn't exist. We're always like, we got to make a TV show about that. A gator and a business suit. We got to talk about that yesterday. That's a great business gator.
Business
people
gator.
Would buy that. Yeah, we watch that
it's
every
already
day.
Named business gator. You know what you're getting.
Houdini versus Doyle.
Hell yes, I want to see that.
Yeah, the Battle of the Titans. Yeah, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
It's so interesting that he was a magician. He's like, spirits, okay.
Idiot.
Yeah. What should you get out of these handcuffs? Make sure we not drown in this tank. You're like, what? You're saying our magic is less magical than your magic?
Yeah, he was pretty sure of himself. Mm-hmm. Very sure. You'd have to be if you dunk yourself upside down in water. You got a lot self-esteem.
Like, good magician has good confidence.
Yeah, you can't walk around looking like Chris Angel without having the utmost confidence in the entire world.
Yeah.
You don't leave your house like that. Unless you're like, this is it. I'm the pinnacle. I'm the top.
Man.
They were very... Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's...
What happened
to him? Oh, he's still around, I think.
You
is Chris
keep
Angel
talking. I'm going to
look
alive? This up.
No, he is. But Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's wife was very into it, and she said she had, like, medium powers and that she could talk to... I mean, like, a psychic medium, not, like, small, medium, and large powers. She had medium... She had high medium powers. That's confusing. But she... said one time to Harry Houdini, I'm getting some information. I think it was one of his parents. It was like, I'm getting some information from your father. He wants me to just send you this and put crosses on the top of every page. And was like, he's sending you this message. And Houdini's like, my dad was Jewish. So that was made up. So I was like, or is your dad fucking with you bad? Came to see you.
Damn.
We did this last night about Siegfried and Roy. Christy's getting on Wikipedia and is like, I'm going to tell you some facts about something tangential
some
to the
facts.
Show.
Some facts. Can write anything they want
show
on
break.
Here.
We're going to learn about Chris Angel tonight. What made you say, oh, damn?
Because in 2010, his residency at Vegas grossed $150 million. So I think he's doing okay, no matter where he is.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know where he is now. His series got replaced by something else. So
Shame.
He had Chris Angel Mind Freak.
I would listen to like a slow jam song called Mind Freak.
Yeah? Sung by Chris Angel?
It can be about
Angel?
Magic or not. I don't care. I just want that to be the title of the song.
Well,
Turn on Mind Freak.
I think he's alive, but he has not done anything... Since 2010 is when his Wikipedia seems to have lost interest.
Take the money and run, baby. Yeah. $100 million?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Take it.
I've lost my place, so stretch until Charlie. I got to get back to what I was doing. There it is. Houdini even went so far as to testify in front of Congress that lawmakers were under the control of fake psychics who were exerting undue influence over the nation's leaders. He spent 4 days testifying on the stand about his findings and blew the whistle on the prevalence of psychics in D.C., but some congressmen thought he went too far. Representative Ralph Gilbert of Kentucky was quoted as saying,
"I believe in Santa Claus, I believe in fairies, in a way, and Houdini is taking the matter entirely too seriously."
It's the fairies for
me. You know what? Today.
And a grown Republican man saying,
I believe in fairies.
But this is too far.
Y'all took it too far. I will say, today, Gail told me, she goes, "I'm getting the name Ralph. I'm just getting the name Ralph. Keep your eye out. Ralph Gilbert, right here."
Uh-oh, there you go. See?
Or she was like, "This bitch probably reads congressional records." You want to debunk a psychic? Why don't you listen to Ralph Gilbert? She fucking got me.
Houdini's opinions aside, the camp leaders at Casadega take their practice seriously. Those interested in becoming a certified medium must take their pledge that includes 10 rules, similar to the Christian Ten Commandments. They must adhere to the Declaration of Principles, the most important of those being,
"Whatsoever ye that others should do unto you, do ye also unto them." That's cool. But put it, you ever, when you're in school, and you're like, "I got to read Macbeth," and they make the Macbeth where it's Shakespeare on one side and like regular talk on the other side? Translated for me, I'm like, there's a lot of yees in
there's
there.
Too many yees.
Not, and yeah. I want to say yay, because, you know,
it's the words are backwards from how we talk now, so it messes with your head.
However, excellent. I think it's a really good practice,
motto. Absolutely. Yes.
I just, you know, I needed those translators when I was reading Shakespeare, and that's what it sounds like.
Sinisterhood will be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've been having to organize a lot of stuff around family, friends, who's doing what for what holiday, and I want to please everyone because I'm a people pleaser, but I cannot figure out everything on my own. I have no user manual for life, nothing to tell me what to do, but you know what? Therapy is the next best thing.
Yep. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual, so when it's not working for you, it's normal to feel stuck.
And navigating any of life's challenges can make you feel unsure. It makes me feel unsure, whether it's a career change, new relationship, becoming a parent, or just, like I said, trying to make everybody happy all the time.
I don't think we need a specific reason to go to therapy. I think just existing is enough of a reason. Living is enough of a reason to go to therapy.
Straight up.
Therapists are trained to help you figure out the cause of challenging emotions and learn productive coping skills, which makes therapy the closest thing to a guided tour of the complex engine called you.
BetterHelp has connected over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient and accessible anywhere, 100% online. I started therapy because you were so open and talking about your experience with therapy, but I didn't know where to start, how to find a person, or even how to show up to an appointment. BetterHelp solved all that for me. I got matched with an awesome therapist who I love. We keep up via the text, and I get to do my therapy from wherever I'm at. So comfort in my own home. I don't even have to put on like jeans. I can wear my yoga pants and be cool.
You could do a phone call and be nude.
They'd never know.
As the world's largest therapy service, BetterHelp has matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. Plus, it's affordable.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a therapist. If things aren't clicking, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It couldn't be simpler.
No waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. Learn more and save 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/sinister.
That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sinister.
Well, in general, it takes about 4 years to complete the mediumship training and another 2 to 4 to obtain certification. The camp's leaders are the ones to make the ultimate decision. Rest assured, when you get a reading at Casadega, the person in front of you has been vetted for at least 5 years before receiving the designation. Gail had lived there for 6.
There you go. High quality.
So she was practicing for a year and then got certified. Yeah.
Whether you believe in communicating with the dead or not, those living in Casadega certainly do. One resident and medium, Darlene Miss Kelly, told the Associated Press,
"Look at it this way. You can't see television or radio waves in the air, but you see an image or hear a voice on the radio. Well, a medium is just like a television or radio. We pick up the higher vibrations from the spirit side and translate it back to something we can understand."
I really liked this metaphor.
I like this because I don't know how TVs or radios work. So to me, right up there.
Or yeah, psychic stuff. So you're like, okay.
Right up there.
Don't understand any of it, so I can believe all of it.
Mm-hmm. Wi-Fi, yeah. I don't know. I know sometimes if I have my phone in my pocket and trying to attach to my earphones, if I move my arm a certain way and I was like, I guess I'm cutting the science connection. I don't know what's happening. So then I walk around
the
with my
science
the Bluetooth.
Connection.
I thought Bluetooth could penetrate us all. Turns out if my arm's in the wrong way, I'm dense as fuck. I'm too dense for the sound to get through. Breaking up my podcast as I'm going.
Whether you come to visit or come to stay, this quaint spiritualist retreat truly lives up to its motto of where Mayberry meets the Twilight Zone. The mix of small town charm, charged spiritual energy, and welcoming folk make it truly a place out of time. As soon as you said, this is like Mayberry meets the Twilight Zone, we said, done, picked our topic for Orlando.
I'm in.
That they didn't have a t-shirt in our size, or if they have a website, I'm ordering one.
I got it.
You know my rule. I just got ordered tonight, and it still counts.
Right? Order it while you're still on vacation,
and then it still counts. Yes.
I don't give a fuck. I'll buy stuff weeks after I went somewhere.
I know.
Years.
I know.
And you know what? It's 3:00 in the morning, and I'm just like, go, fuck, I didn't want to buy that. No refunds. Impulsive as hell. Sorry, Gail. You pegged me wrong.
Anyone can visit the camp and sign up for psychic readings or other spiritual encounters. Listings are available in the bookshop and the hotel. If you're looking to reconnect with the higher plane or receive messages from the great beyond, set your coordinates for the corner of Spiritualist Street and Mediumship Way.
That's a real intersection.
Real intersection. And twice.
Yeah, there was, I think maybe it was
old
sign.
A cool thing in the fairy garden. Yes, an old sign in the fairy garden. Another actual street signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so what do we think?
I love this place. This is a great place.
It's very cool. I can't wait to go back.
It seems like there's a really good support network. I was going to the bathroom in the main welcome center, and I like a place with a public restroom. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But I heard people in another room, and they were setting up chairs, and they were talking about, Thursday night, we have to make sure. Da-da. So I am happy for folks who makes them happy. They're making other people feel happy. And that's what I thought when I was in the bookstore looking at the titles of those books of like healing from loss and whatever. And if you are genuinely hurting, this genuinely makes you feel better. I don't know that I see the harm in it. I think some people may have a visceral reaction on another level of like, this can't be proven, ergo charging tickets for something that's really, hogwash in their opinion. But people don't, we all do dumb shit, right? I do. I buy scratch-off lottery tickets. I might as well take my money and just throw it in a gutter. But it's fun to me. It makes me feel close to my dad. So I think if something is not... Now, if I was like, I'll buy 36,000 scratch-offs a year, you'd be like, that's harmful. That's dangerous. But if I got some, I got some change in my purse or whatever, I'm buying groceries, like, I'll buy a scratcher. And it's not like, I'm going to win $1 million. It's just fun. It's like a fun game. I could, right?
Yeah.
You always want to. And so I think if something makes you feel happy and it's not inherently harmful to you or other people, I don't know that I see,
I don't see any
harm. Problem.
I think the key is, as long as it's not harmful, and that's where the fine line between a utopian place like this and a cult is.
Yes.
I want to go on record again as saying,
No.
I do not think Casadega is a cult, but all cults started this way.
And it's true. And the good thing is, it sounds like the stewardship of this has tried to maintain what Colby wanted, and it, like you said, it very could have easily, I think, gone into something sinister and been like,
Jones situation,
Like I said, they start putting up fences and telling everybody they got to wear the same thing. Mm-hmm. But when you have, I think, a more communal leader, it's not like, well, we're all here for Colby and praise Colby and praise the
yes,
and it is very much like we're self governing, we care about the quality,
or it's the infinite God,
yes.
It's not an actual tangible person that becomes a leader. It's like you're all, it's something that isn't tangible. So.
And the kind of beauty of this is that people come from different spiritual backgrounds. So there are Christian mediums, there are mediums that practice Buddhism. So they have all different religious backgrounds that they then interpret in their own way. And again, who are any of us to say what somebody else's belief is wrong?
Because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do know that I'm going to go to heaven because that swimming hole incident. So I feel
you
good.
You got the cake. You don't eat a Romans 3:2 or whatever the hell you said.
I'll try to remember what that
was. Not go to
was.
Heaven. I am going to go back to that church that I don't remember where it was and demand a redo. Be like, I want a cake out of this. All I got was like a necklace from James Avery.
I got baptized and all I got was this lousy salvation. I didn't even get a treat.
No, but I didn't. I think we went to lunch after, but okay.
You probably would have got lunch anyway.
Yeah, your family I was has to get fed you. Anyways. Yeah.
They
I didn't get a cake. I know that. Uh-huh. Especially did not get a cake with a quote.
It was from Kroger, maybe. It was one of those, you know, that frosting that's like oily, white frosting.
Oh, yeah. Chocolate was cake. It white? Oh, it was chocolate cake.
Cake with white icing.
That's a good combo. Like,
give me the row.
That's a good combo.
That
yeah.
was a square that had the beginning of Romans on it.
What?
I said, give me the row. It was
oh,
a square.
Oh, you wanted the corner piece?
Trying to get, no, it was right in the middle.
Oh, I'd like a middle piece, too.
Yeah, I like
don't
a middle
Because I don't like icing that much. I like more cake to icing, so I go middle.
This one was decorated. I don't want you to imagine it was a plain white cake. That would be too reverent. This was definitely a cake for a child's birthday that they wrote Romans 2:8 on it. They're like, is your son named Roman and he's 2 years old? Or he's 8 years old? They're like, it's for a baptism at the water park. Will this make
How
the drive over?
How else are you going to get kids to come on over if you don't have a water slide and a cake? You got to use
something. Bait. We were the bait. The idea was that the other kids would come and watch us do it. And then they would
do years it. Later, you were baited again.
Baited again.
God, I'm glad you got out of all that.
Keep getting baited. And me and Osho, fuck, I still feel bad about that wild country thing.
Well, I can't wait to go back and spend some time there when we can. I'd like to stay in the hotel. I'd like to get a couple more readings.
So
go to the restaurant.
I told you I want to say.
Say what
some
did you say
and tell you
for
about
me?
Thing. So also one thing that she saw, she said, "I see a man," and she vaguely described just a guy that I was like, "That's probably my dad." She said he had facial hair and he smoked. She said he had a darker hair, which my dad's always been like blonde, and I was like, "Ah, it could be my dad, but not really." And she's like, how old was he when he passed away? Because she goes, oh, he was in his 50s. And I said, oh, he was 67 when he passed away. She goes, I knew that. I knew he was older. I knew that. And I was like, yeah, I knew you knew that. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. And then she described it. She's like an older guy. And I never knew my mom's dad. But physically, she's like, oh, he liked to work with his hands and work with wood. And he's like an older figure, whatever. And so I was just like, yeah, 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 absolutely. And she goes, and for some reason, they just keep saying Herman Munster. And I was like, oh, what? And she goes, Herman Munster, what does that mean to you? I was like, I don't know. She goes, well, keep that with you.
Keep
so
it
maybe
in mind.
We'll see. He's probably dead, Herman Munster.
Keep it in mind.
And then she goes, and you know what else I'm seeing? I'm seeing Grandpa Munster and I'm seeing Eddie Munster showing up. I was like,
the Munsters
is here.
You just need, is the cast of the Munsters going to do something
Dude,
for you?
The Munsters theme song
is
a banger.
Here, Munster,
Henry
cases,
Munster, Herman
Munster. Alive.
This is
the worst Google I've ever done. Nothing is gonna come up.
Who
did you
Herman
mean
Munster? It'll tell me.
He was famous. He played a lot of things.
So I told her that. So I said, okay,
you told her that.
Herman Munster doesn't really mean a lot, but my dad and I used to watch the money. My cousin Vinny and Herman Munster.
Fred Gwynn.
Herman Munster plays the judge and my cousin Vinny. She's like, that's probably what it was. That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it was. That's what it was. And so I go.
He is no longer with us.
Rest in peace, sweet prince. Sweet, sweet Fred Gwynn.
He passed at 66.
Well, she said.
Yeah, I was young. 2003.
She goes, do you have any questions for me? And I said, I feel like. So my dad passed away in fall of 2017. And I said, I feel like. It's about 6 months after that, everything in my life started going really well. So do you think maybe he's my spirit guide? And this is where I can relate to people really going, because I desperately wanted her to say yes. I was like, is he guiding my career and helping the show and like helping bring all you wonderful people out here to see me and doing all the great things so I could stop being a lawyer? And she goes, some people are just lucky sometimes. And I was like, oh. So
I appreciate she told the truth. She was like, I have an opportunity to blow smoke up your ass. Well, I'm just going to tell it like it is.
In that moment, she could have been like, all of that was your father.
Uh-huh.
It was. And that was what, I mean, she's like, she's got the spoon and the ice cream and my tongue was out. I was like, ready? And she's like, nope. And I was like,
all right.
But this is the thing.
She told me my dad wasn't around.
Yeah. She said my dad was with me in the room, but she said he didn't have nothing to do with that. You're just lucky. Mm. And I said,
This is where I'm going to blow your
oh,
mind.
Oh, shit. This blow is what I haven't heard yet.
Fucking mind.
Can't wait.
She said to me, she goes, well, do you have two gentlemen? And like I said, one's my mom's dad, I think, and then one was my dad. And she goes, I'm also seeing a leprechaun around you.
Shut up! What? I go, what?
What? And she goes, that's where your luck comes from. She goes, that's where your luck comes from. I didn't mention Irish. I didn't she can look at me and make assumptions. That's all fair. That's fine. But she was like, yeah, I can see that.
Well, clearly, she's never listened to the show.
She's like, she goes, you got a leprechaun around you. That's why you're so lucky. I go, when I was a kid, and this makes me want to throw up. I'm so embarrassed to tell you this. But when I was a kid and I wanted things to happen, I used to say, the luck of the Irish. Stop. It was...
You've told me that.
Cringe. I cringe to think of little Heather being like, pick me. And I'm like, the luck of the Irish. And they're like, we don't want that bitch on our dodgeball team. She's over there whispering about the luck of the Irish. What the fuck? So, yeah. She's like, she goes, I just
even
feel
the
like,
Irish don't say that. They no. Don't say,
you know who says that?
Irish, that's just something on a dish towel.
Fucking nobody says that. T-shirts,
no one.
Novelty t-shirts sold at a parade say that.
Yeah.
Not a real person who's 35 years old. And a former lawyer,
well,
I guess, so technically.
Is
current.
It evil?
No,
she like,
she said,
beware?
No, she was like, that's part of your luck. You're
well,
lucky.
Maybe this will help you with your fear of leprechauns.
I'm telling you, after I watched Leprechaun Goes to Las Vegas, now as an adult, I now love the leprechaun.
Okay, I'm glad.
Love the
turned.
Leprechaun.
You've,
if I ever met the
grown.
Leprechaun, I would lose it. Because that's when he goes.
The actor?
Yes, Warwick Davis.
He's, I don't know.
He's still
guys.
Alive. He's doing good. He's doing good.
He's okay. People
were tweeting
Herman
him
Munster
about
isn't.
Our leprechaun show. So the leprechaun Las Vegas, you got to watch that because that's when he goes, watch out, Vegas, I'm taking over. Ha-ha! And a real line in a real movie that they really filmed. Yeah, he's doing great. He's
got kids. Alive. He's
doing
alive. He's okay. Yeah, he's good. He's
doing
good.
Great. He's thriving. That's what we want. Warwick Davis should thrive. He deserves it. He's had a career.
She told me, she goes, I don't know. I just see a bunch of like people around you, they're relatives, but you might not know them all, but they're showing me like a cannon. Wait a second. And now they're telling me like, do you know the AC/DC song For Those About to Rock? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, is that the album with the cannon on the front? And I was like, I have no idea. It is, because we looked it up after. And she goes, when you get in the car, the first thing you need to do is play For Those About to Rock, because somebody has a message for you in that song. You need to listen to the lyrics. I was like, I absolutely will.
Okay, I'm going to read this
and
line by line.
And then we got in and we listened to them.
We were rocking to the guitar beat, so we're stripping away the instrumentation.
Okay.
We're going to focus on the message. We roll tonight. We're on tonight. Till the guitar bites.
Are these the words?
Yep. Stand up and be counted for what you're about to receive. We are the dealers, and we'll give you everything you
need.
This
is like what we should have said before we came out.
Hail, hail to the good times.
We should have played this song. When they were like, do you have a song you want? It should have been this.
All hail rock and roll. Or what
this
is it
has
called?
To be the song we leave to.
This sounds like, with no rock and music behind it, like a chant that you hold hands with your buddies around the lake and say, hail, hail to the good times. Rock has the right of way. We ain't no legend, ain't no cause. We're just living for today.
That's us, baby. Then they salute me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those about to rock, we salute
you.
Yeah. You.
A lot of those over and over, they're still saluting.
Pick up your balls and load up your cannon.
Hell yeah.
Woohoo. So we're saying now.
Pick up your balls and load up your cannon, absolutely.
Done and done.
Well, so that was our experience.
That was our experience.
At the wonderful Casadega earlier. That's our episode, but if you've been to a live show, you know that that is not the end of our show, because we like to hear from you guys in the audience. Round of applause if you're one of our Patreons. Thank you so much, first of all, for your support. We could not do this without you, but you're familiar with this bit. It's called Judge Christie. We do it on Patreon. We do weekly bonus content, and this is one of the things. I have my gavel.
Ready.
Now, I accidentally left the thing you bang the gavel on at my house. So last night, I used a bottle cap from a Corona that was opened with the Parrot bottle opener from Heather's Crocs. What a weird sentence. No one ever thought they would say or hear.
No.
But I think I'm just going to do that again.
I think it's a good plan.
I think we got to, if a lovely server at the improv wouldn't mind bringing us a shot of 1800, whatever your best tequila is.
The finest tequila.
Whatever your highest tequila is.
You're Florida
if we
crazy.
Could get two shots and then a Corona with lime, we also got to have salt.
Please leave the lid on the Corona. I would like to crack it.
There's a lot of requests coming from the stage right now. And they're like, these bitches. They were very cool until they got on stage like, and started demanding
it's
stuff.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. Except for right now. Sorry.
Yeah. We're always like, we don't need anything. And then we get on stage. We're like, we need everything right this second. And we've told nobody about this ahead of time.
You have plenty of time because I can tell my grievance.
Yeah. Oh, and so in the meantime, so in a minute, what we're going to do is ask you to shout out, I have a grievance, if you have a grievance. The only rule we have is no bummers.
No bummers.
But a petty grievance that either involves society, somebody you have here tonight, maybe they're not here, and then we will rule on it. And my jurisdiction's global. You cannot appeal, and all rulings are final. Mm-hmm. It's the highest court in the land. So thank you. And Heather is my trusty bailiff and law clerk. She fact checks everything.
I do.
And she also likes to get us started with her own grievance in the meantime. You wrote it down.
I wrote it down.
All caps. It says grievance is the title of this note. I love it. Okay, what is your grievance, Heather?
Your Honor, I would like you to rule. This is a personal grievance. I got beef. It's me and someone else.
Okay. Is it me?
No.
Okay.
I never. So I live in a house that I bought myself. Very proud of myself back in the day when I was
there for it.
You helped me pick it out. I let your baby crawl through because I love Ella and I think she is an intuitive slash baby witch. And I took her to one house and she freaked out. And I was like, this is a death house. You can feel it. Shit went down. But she came to my house, the one that I have now. It's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I have neighbors in my house. I don't think they listen. And if so, I hope they do because then they can hear this and they can hear what the judge has to say. So I have a yard in the front that is dirt and gravel.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
I don't know why. I moved in with a dirt patch. The market was good. It was a good deal. I took it, right? I don't go on the front lawn, so I don't have pride in what I own, I guess, because I live in a dirt patch. What happens if you live in a dirt patch is the shit erodes down the dirt patch and creates a sludge hill at the bottom of your yard.
That's what the kids are calling it in the neighborhood.
They're like,
now.
Go make out on Sludge Hill. And I'm like, get off my lawn.
They're like, that old woman over there on Sludge Hill.
That old hag with her.
She's a real witch if you can get over there.
So I got a nasty gram from code enforcement recently that, what day is it? Fuck. I had to clean it by July
16th. Thursday.
It's
the 14th. You got 2 days.
I got
2 days.
We're going to go. So we had to shovel all this dirt up.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. I get it that technically I was in the wrong. Technically I shouldn't have had Sludge Hill. Whatever. Nobody asked for that. But I don't have an HOA. And the code compliance officer, I believe, came because somebody called him.
100%.
And you know how, like, you hear about killers returning to the scene of the crime afterwards while the investigation's going on? They're like, hey, what's going on? I was just passing by. What's going on here? My neighbor walked out while Paris, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate
wow,
it.
Wow, thank you.
Wow. Oh, hell yeah. Right, y'all are amazing. All right. Thank Look you. At those limes. That's when you ask for limes. That's what you bring.
That's right.
Thank you. Don't bring me one lime.
So as Paris was out shoveling the dirt, the neighbor next door came out and was like, oh, I guess you got some dirt over there. Paris is so nice.
Was he just watching out the window?
Yeah, enjoy the view.
Yeah.
First of all,
is this when he walked back in and Heather goes, you look like a man right now.
A man right now. He's all sweating and everything. But yeah, he came out and was like, oh, I see you got a lot of dirt there. So what do you do about your lawn? Like the last people didn't. And Paris came in and goes, hey, our neighbor was so friendly. He came out while I was shoveling the dirt.
Sunshiny
and I was like,
Paris.
That son of a bitch. And he was like, what? And I go, that is the motherfucker that called code compliance on us. He returned to the scene of the crime. Fuck him. Fuck his wife. Paris was like, oh my God.
Okay, but also his wife, when Paris first moved in, Paris and Heather.
What all white bitches love? Calling the cops.
Mm.
And that's what they did on my house.
They were driving off to go do something. Heather got a notification on her phone that an Amazon package had been delivered. So they turn around, go back to the front of the house, pulls up. Paris just jumps out of the house, runs up to the front, grabs the Amazon package, runs back to the car. Well, Ms. Code Compliance,
Gladys Kravitz, was like, here's the thing.
A note for Heather saying, I think somebody may have stolen the package, and then has the audacity to go, it was a white man. Bitch, no, it wasn't.
It was my husband.
You know
I watched
what you
it.
Saw?
I
Don't
facilitated.
Try and act like you're woke all of a sudden.
And then she goes, by the way, they said they're going to come by your house. I was like, you have dispatched officers to my home? And she goes, why don't you call them and tell them not to come? I was like, now you've given me a chore. I'm not doing either of those things. So the police come. I walk out front and I close the door behind me. I was like, babe, you stay inside. You got nothing to do with this. And they're like, we had a report of a package thief. I go, it was an inside job. And the officer was like, yeah, that makes sense. She goes, we ran the plates that the lady gave us. I go, it came back to me. And she was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, I stole my own porch mail. So with the backstory that his wife is a cop caller, he's a code compliance caller.
They're
here's
bitches.
The thing.
They're the neighborhood complainers.
Two things they could have done for me. Because A, I have a Ring doorbell, so I'd see if somebody stole it. It's my package to call the police about. And if you really care about the issue and not about getting people in trouble, the guy was coming out and being like, maybe try this type of grass. Maybe try this. Maybe fucking say that before you call code compliance on me. This is personal and I'm very petty. Okay, so it's fine. I was like, they've been an enemy for
grievance.
Life. And Paris was like, just forgive it. My official grievance is he should not have called code compliance without giving me, yes, I get it. It's not cool to leave a sludge hill out. However,
How was it affecting them?
I don't know.
Because they couldn't, yes, there's a lot of dirt on your sidewalk, but you could walk in the street to get around it. If you were a child and needed to walk down the
or
path.
Or the grass. Yeah. Or just give it a little hop. Okay, yeah. I get it.
It's There's a ways around it.
I'm the nuisance neighbor. I get it. But I just wish, and I think he would have fostered a stronger connection betwixt us by knocking on the door and going, listen, I just want to let you guys know. Which, by the way, she did another thing. I put something out and she was like, you're going to get a ticket for that. I'm like, oh, am I? Who are you calling?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would foster a better relationship if you just knock on the door, or even she likes to leave notes. And as a fellow note leaver, that's fine. I get it. I've left my fair share of bitchy notes in my day. She could have left a note and just been like, FYI, hey, your dirt is actually against code compliance. Let us know if you want any gardening tips. She didn't even have to offer that. But I just don't like the...
You wanted to be the middleman.
This is an overburdening
cut you out.
Of city resources. She didn't have to get that man involved. There's shit that's actually going on. She just could have told me and I would have fixed it. Should I have fixed it on my own? Yes.
No, I think that there's something to be said for neighbors coming to you first before.
Yes.
That being said, I have called the cops on my neighbors that I didn't want to deal with. So I get it.
Yeah.
But it was also like an apartment situation.
Yeah.
And I was living by myself and young and stuff. And it was like dudes upstairs. So I'm not going to go up there and like confront them about how they're banging around at 2 in the fucking morning. But, and I didn't call the cops. I called the apartment complex.
Oh, yeah.
But they could have easily come over. That's a neighborly thing to do. Would have been like, hey, I see you got some problems. We had a similar situation, even if you didn't.
No.
Just so you're like, then you know that they are aware, so you're more likely to do something about it.
Yeah, which I'm as nosy as they are, I should have already thought. I should have seen this coming, but I didn't. Okay.
Well, now you got a $2,000 fine on your hands if you don't get that shit off your sidewalk. In 2 days.
And then my husband.
$2,000.
$2,000
for some dirt.
I wasn't even charging tickets to Sludge Hill. I'm going to put up a fence around it.
You should.
And the kids are going to be like, where'd Sludge Hill go? And I'm like, ask her. So I think that's my grievance is that in the situation where you do see a minor wrong. Again, this wasn't injuring anyone. It was unsightly. I'll give you that. But I would argue that the way to foster connections and build bridges is not through sending in the troops for something.
I would agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, we could have been friendlier.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah. Well, and this is also predicated on the fact that you 100% believe she did this.
You don't return. My life.
I agree.
I've lived there my whole 4 years that I've lived there. That man has spoken to me zero times.
No. Yeah.
But when he saw Paris out there.
He's watching, waiting for an opportunity.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Do you think it's because you're a woman?
I don't know what it was for. I just think it was because he
wanted to say... No, I agree.
I think he called.
So, final ruling. If you got a beef with your neighbor, go deal with it with them. You know, but cops or HOA stuff is the last resort.
Like I said, code compliance, there probably is real stuff that they could be doing that he's just like...
How about that woman with the freaking Confederate flag in her front yard down the street from you?
It blocks
That's
out
who
the
we need
sun.
To be calling code compliance. Not just a flag. An erected... flagpole that's like 20 feet tall.
Huge.
In cement. It is a statement.
I can't prove it, but I think she got that flag from a car dealership. It's that big. Like, it's huge.
100%, yeah. Well, I got out my little thingy, so here come the...
Crack it.
Now, she got this off her shoe. There it goes. Wait, where the... My gavel.
That's the one piece we needed, and I dropped it on the ground.
What I tried to do last night, which I'm not going to do tonight, was try to be real cool and put a lime in here, and then I did the thing where you put your thumb in it, and you flip the beer upside down, and the lime goes to the bottom.
And then you start screaming, going, the liquid's coming out. It's going everywhere. Upside down, going, what do I do to make the liquid stop? And the whole audience is like, turn it over. Turn the other. And she goes, I can't. It's spewing all over my laptop.
It was everywhere. I was like, drenched in vodka tequila and beer.
That's the laptop you use to make the show. Yeah. Don't destroy it.
I should move it out of the way.
We should move it out of
the way. Okay, hand me a lime.
Alrighty. You got a whole bunch of them here.
Okay, so final ruling. Go to your neighbor
before you go
to anybody else.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
I'll set it here so everyone
can
see.
It's been upsetting me.
Okay, now, get your tiny shot glass.
All right. We have
the tiny shot glass.
This is
where things got real unruly last night because we tried to pour the tequila into this tiny shot glass, and this is where things went wrong. But you know what we should have done? Put that over that.
Oh, that's genius.
Tommy likes to call these things... This is a over-the-sink job is what he calls them. When you got to pour something into something else.
That's how your kid was conceived.
Yeah, over the sink.
Over the sink job.
He bit me right over that sink.
Yep.
So sorry.
My
father-in-law's here.
Hey, George. What's up?
George, also not how it happened. The sink is way too tall. And it's constantly
really
full of dirty dishes. The last thing I want to see when I'm trying to get boned is this fucking... Sink of the shit we ate 3 days ago.
I poured tequila on the laptop. Hang on.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. I'm getting... do you have your lime?
I do not.
Okay. We'll get it. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to set something down, so it's probably the mic. Okay. Wait, that's mine.
Oh, you're going to take it this whole thing?
You have one there.
Oh, my God. I was confused.
I mean, I'm not going to take the whole thing right now, but I'm going to take part of it. So, okay.
All right.
All right. Oh, are you going to take it out of the tiny one? I'll just take it out of this one. All right, ready?
What do I do? Lick the thing?
Oh, yeah. You shoot it, or lick it, shoot it, suck.
Lick, swallow, suck. That's the over-the-sink job.
Yeah. Okay, hold on.
All right, you doing it?
To Orlando.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Why, God, why?
Yeah, that was good.
That was lovely.
Ooh, that was good. Who has a grievance? All right, I saw a hand right here first.
They will bring you a microphone. So right here, just keep your hand up. They're going to come find you. And when you tell us your grievance, tell us your name and your pronouns, and lay it on us. It's your opening argument.
Last night I shot the whole front row with lime juice, and it's happening again.
Baby's destroyed.
Sorry.
This
is Baby's last show.
You were all here.
Baby has had a good ride, but he needs a break. He's real fucked looking at this point.
So he's
going to go on sabbatical. We'll have something, a new little trinket for the next tour. But if you have heard us talk about him, this is him. He is outfitted by Nancy McKinney's custom little tiny shirt.
Yeah. Tiny baby shirt. So. Tiny baby Mothman shirt.
All right. What is your name and pronouns?
My name's Paula.
Hi, she, her. So I would just like to preface this by saying I love my husband very much.
Mm. Yeah, but
he is not here with me tonight.
Okay. It
is
you a safe
talk
space.
Talk a bunch of shit about him.
Let's
then.
Do it.
So today is our only child, our daughter Olivia's 18th birthday.
Oh,
happy birthday!
Yep.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. I am here with her blessing because
she's a good daughter.
Yes,
she's
wonderful.
That's very sweet of her.
So when I was pregnant with her, and by the way, she was born in Texas.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, El Paso.
What part? El Paso. Yes. Nice.
Is that really Texas, though?
Yeah.
Beto's from there.
I mean, yeah. Technically, it is, yeah.
I
don't have anything else to say about that.
Line-wise, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When I was pregnant with her, I was pregnant over Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And Mother's Day comes and goes, and my husband...
Oh, God, I already know what this is.
18 years ago, and you hadn't forgot, had you?
Nope.
I feel that.
You don't forget.
Deeply.
Moms
deeply.
Don't forget. We're like elephants.
No. Mm-hmm. So he never wished me a happy Mother's Day when I was pregnant with his child. He has every year since then, of course. But this has been an 18-year argument.
Oh, wow.
Of our 27-year marriage so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he says, if you are pregnant on Mother's Day but don't actually have any children, are you really a mother?
Here's my suggestion. I don't think it's up to a man to tell you when you're a mom. I don't think it is. That's just me. What do I know? I only took an oath to swear to protect and uphold the fucking Constitution. What do I know?
Well, thank you. I did tell him that your ruling is final. Whatever happens, I'm going to make him listen to this. So,
I like that you're, because there's been some shit. 2004 is when your daughter was born?
Yeah.
Thereabouts. There's shit that people did to me in 2004 that I come up on Facebook. I'm like, fuck you. And I'm not married to him. So I feel this deeply.
Yeah.
Never let it go.
Man. I'm real torn on this. For the following reason. I had to take a shot because
she had to.
I mean, we all know what.
Yeah.
So, as a feminist, I want to say no. You shouldn't have, because that wasn't a child yet.
I know.
And until you had the baby, you're not. It's not a child.
His but argument is, if you can't claim it on your taxes, it didn't exist.
What?
Maybe.
If you couldn't claim it on your taxes?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point, because in the state of, I'll tell you right now, there's a case in Texas right now where a woman got pulled over by the cops in the HOV lane, and she said, look, bitch, you want to say this is the person? Well, I'm riding in the fucking HOV lane then. So,
she's playing 4D chess.
Should we be able to claim a fetus on our taxes if they're saying it's a person?
Yeah. How does your husband look?
You can't
in
have
like
it.
A,
you can't have your cake and
you
eat it too.
You can't have it both ways. How does your husband look in like a black robe? Like, would he be interested in joining the Supreme Court? Like, what do you mean? Because he sounds like he's got some good ideas. All I'm saying. I will say, from a husband perspective, if your wife likes a thing and wants to celebrate a thing, your job is to celebrate that thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, even if true. It's like, I hate Valentine's Day, and your wife, she's like, I don't
you
my
gotta
friends.
Suck it up.
Otherwise, you're Roy from The Office, and everybody else is getting gifts, and Pam is just sitting there, sad. And then we all know what happened to Roy and Pam. So I think if you, that aside, the scientific, political question aside, the answer, sir, is that I wanted flowers, chocolate, etc.
Didn't you know that you wanted it? And you said, like, oh, it's my first Mother's Day as a mother, and he knew that you were expecting something?
I don't think that we had actually discussed it. I wasn't really
vocal
about it.
He should know. It's also a made-up holiday, so guess who can celebrate it? Whoever the fuck wants to. It doesn't matter. Just go buy a balloon for whoever.
Mother's coming.
Turn it upside down. It says, wow. It doesn't matter what day. You can.
I did not get him a Father's Day card.
Never thought about that.
Yeah.
Happy Wow Day.
Yeah.
In the 18 years, has he ever given you a gift for that first one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but you're still petty about
it.
Never forget.
Still
bitter. Yeah,
of course.
I get it.
Never forget.
I mean,
every year.
I think the resolution is he's got to make up for it somehow.
Here's the thing. He can't go back in time and make up for it, though. So you get to lord that over him until he dies. Or you die, whichever comes first, or the same time. That's what I tell Paris, because he missed our first Valentine's Day together, which also is my dad's birthday. And I was like, way to leave me alone on my dead dad's birthday. And he was like, it's a work trip. I didn't get to pick the date. And I was like, interesting how far you won't go for me. It's just like, I swear. So every Valentine's Day, you know what? I get a lot of shit, and it's awesome. So keep doing that.
Yeah, he's got to really up the game on the Mother's Days to make up for it until, like Heather said, until you die.
Until you die.
Yeah. Is she your only child?
She's our only one.
Okay.
And he missed the chance.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll never be pregnant again. And even if I am, not with her.
Yeah. It won't be my first.
No.
Your first, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great thing.
I had the same beef with Tommy, but with our dogs. I always felt like I should get Mother's Day gifts when we had just dogs, because I was a mom to them, and I would get him Father's Day stuff from the pets.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't get shit, and he's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know how many people, like, those are their babies. These are our babies right now.
Yeah.
Never did.
I am only a dog owner now, and I don't do that because I don't feel like Lucy is my baby. She is a rude roommate that lives with me. That I'm like, what
she's
are
the
we?
Warden.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, are we best friends or what? And she's like, I don't know, I'll tell you later. So, yeah.
You're still trying to get in good with
yeah, there's
the
not a baby.
Yeah,
mama
he's
baby.
He's got to spend the rest of his life making up for it. That's the only solution.
100%. 100%.
And he should take a hint from your daughter, who was gracious enough to let you come tonight on her birthday. So, you know, yes.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And what's your daughter's name?
Olivia.
Olivia, thank you for sharing your mom with us tonight.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Who else has a grievance? Oh,
wait,
over
see.
Here. There's so many people pointing at one person. So I got a feeling this is a good one. You had this. You've been talking about this for days, haven't you?
We'll do you in the front and then the person in the back as well, because we sort of pointed in that direction. So.
So I am here with my husband.
Okay. What's your name and pronouns?
My name's Tracy. Pronouns she, her. And we have our schedules typically don't work to where we can have evenings together. He took off to come tonight.
Thank you.
And so I split my weekend to where I have one night off with him and one night by myself. And we have agreed that Monday nights is our date night. So we went to Key West on vacation, and while we were there, he said, "Oh, I have I have outfit for us to wear tonight."
Wait, what?
Us? Yeah, right. Because I had laid out
he said,
on an outfit.
I have an outfit for us to wear.
Yes.
Outfit singular?
No, an outfit for you to wear.
Was it matching?
No. Yes.
Was it Margaritaville frocks?
No.
Well, that's how you know
so
someone loves you.
So after he got lost trying to figure out where we parked the car from our hotel.
Shade? That was just a little shade you threw in. Has nothing to do with the story. She just wants you to know she still hasn't forgotten about that. I appreciate
so
that
he
detail.
Comes back with this bag and he's like, I have a different shirt for you to wear tonight. And I'm like, no, I picked this outfit out, you know. And he's like, no, I had my friend make these shirts for us.
Oh, keeps going. Keeps going.
God. God, I wish you'd worn these tonight.
Oh, is that what you're wearing right now?
No, these I made.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, what do they say?
They say, the devil rules the airwaves and keep it creepy.
Oh, excellent. I love it. Thank you. And you're so sweet for wearing it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Supportive.
That's so sweet.
So he pulls out these shirts and they say, and they're in purple, which is my favorite color.
Same.
So, cool. Purple. But it says in big, bold letters, Monday Night Bang.
Iconic, sir. Iconic.
Dude, wear that every day
and
for the rest of your life.
And he expects me
get buried in that
to
if you,
wear this out in public in Key West, which I did.
What does that mean?
It means that Monday night's date night.
And you need to fuck.
Oh, and then you fuck. Nice.
Money,
congratulations.
You know what, though? I like that idea of like setting it up. Because then you're
right?
Like, Sunday, and people are like, I got to go back to work. But then.
You know, I'm ending my night.
Then I got to go back to work.
Then I got to do work
fucking
later.
A. Mm-hmm.
And so we spend Monday, and this was a Monday night that we were in Key West. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll wear it here because nobody's going to see me, and that's fine. And we were taking pictures, and I'm, of course, like this and trying to take pictures.
And he had a matching one on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
And we had a lady at the cigar store ask, so what's Monday night gang?
Of course.
And he's like, it's our date night.
And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. She's as filthy as we were. Was she like, you're going to go fuck back in your hotel room?
Yeah. It's
like, I'm trying to buy some cocktail shrimp, ma'am.
You need to leave this Publix right now, miss.
And so it was, you know, and so I have not worn it anywhere else because, you know, I am a minister in this town.
Nice.
Fuck.
Very nice reveal. Nice reveal.
And I can't have people seeing this shirt.
What you tell
ministers
them.
Fuck? What are
I
you?
I know.
Presbyterian?
But I don't want them thinking about it.
What are you? What religion?
Unitarian Universalist.
Yeah, that was my second guess.
Yep.
It was Presbyterian and then Unitarian. See?
Yep.
Y'all, be proud of it. Yeah. Wear it to, what do you call it? Not mass. Service?
Service.
Please wear it to service.
I'm not wearing service.
You've got
to. I'm younger than all my congregants, for the most part. So
you do you do a Monday night service?
No.
But you should start one.
Should start.
Because the church office is closed on Mondays.
Starts wearing Monday night bang shirts.
I guess if you're a reverend that... Sunday would be a very tough day for you.
Yeah. So
not
you
a day of rest.
On Monday, you get
right. So Monday is my first day
praying.
Off, and then I take Fridays off as well. But
you
So I told him,
you
I said,
a good
when we
day
go,
for your sex
yeah.
life.
Yeah. So
based on your schedule, I agree.
Bang
with
day.
This.
So I told him I was going to bring this up on whether or not this was appropriate for us to have these shirts to wear out on Monday nights in town.
Yes.
What kind of?
I love it. I will say, I recently said to Tommy, I am so glad we are not the couple that would ever wear matching outfits. But that's just us, and that's not my personality. But I think it's very cute. Like, this story is adorable. I remember one of the first times I met Paris, we were at when Heather had her sweet attorney job, and we got a, by we, I mean, she got a sweet, a literal suite at the AAC, which is an where our basketball team plays and we see concerts.
I will say, that law firm, they don't have that suite no more, and I stopped working there. Correlation? Causation? I think so.
Probably.
They were like, we can't stay afoot without Heather
probably.
Here.
But we went and
clock.
Saw WWE Raw?
Yeah,
I
we did.
There, live. And it was one of the first times like you and Paris had like started dating, and he ordered you both matching shirts of a wrestler.
Yeah.
And they wore them through it, and I was like, that's really cute. We're never going to do that, babe. But I appreciate it's cute for others.
We are matching. We're a matching couple. We wore I Love You, I Know, Star Wars.
Those are our wedding rings.
Shut up.
In Erebus.
Well, they have those at Star Wars Land. It's called Disneyland, but we didn't give a shit about the rest of the
party. Yeah, the rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the Star Wars Land, that blue milk. Anyhow, we wore matching shirts and it was fine because it was our wedding. I think the question is what type of establishments you're going. You're going to Applebee's, Chili's, wear the bang
shirt.
That's
appropriate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if it's just like a 5-star dining establishment and you maybe don't want to get
thrown out. I'll
tell
you what, anywhere you could wear these Crocs, you can wear that Monday night bang shirt.
I mean,
too.
This is Florida, so that's
everywhere.
Not,
that's it's everywhere. Anywhere you want to go.
Yeah, that is that's Florida black tie right there.
Yes. Like the Canadian tuxedo.
That's right.
Florida black tie. Florida black tie. Crocs and the Monday Night Bang t-shirt. I love it. And I think your husband is, I think you're very sweet.
He
sir.
Is sweet. He is
that's
sweet.
Very supportive and cute. And the fact that you came here tonight in a t-shirt from, you probably have never even heard us talk before.
He has, actually.
Oh, you have?
He has.
What's your name?
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Yeah,
hi, and you took it right back.
I appreciate
that.
He's done. Nope.
Okay, and I it's back
name.
To me.
Say your name only.
You can say your name, and I'll talk about your t-shirt, but I'm not going to give you the mic
no,
any
that's
more
it.
Than that.
Well, at the end of the day, I think it's not important where you wear the t-shirts, but that you continue to take them off every Monday night.
Oh! Final ruling. Yes. All right, one more?
Sure, uno mas.
The one right behind.
So
we're going to do...
My eyes wrote a check that my body has to now cash, because earlier I was like, yeah, and then that wasn't the person we picked. So now we have to pick you. So hello, I'm excited.
Well, it's okay, because my name is Heather. That's
What's
why
up?
You picked me.
Oh, nice.
So I have a grievance, but I just want to pre-state my boyfriend is not here, but he's from Texas.
Okay. What part?
Houston.
Yikes. It's okay. He got
just
out, though.
Just kidding. I don't even know why I asked what part. I mean,
you all hate each other.
No, we all love each other. That's the thing. Texas love each other.
Well, he calls y'all the Texas Murder Girls. So.
Oh, what a nice name.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
You know what? That'd be our roller derby team name.
That would be. Yeah. Yeah. If I had a 1% of me that wanted to do roller derby, that would be our roller derby name.
I like skating. I don't like people whacking into
me. Have had many friends on roller derby That's teams, awesome. And I've hung out with all the girls and gone to, and it's just, I'm not that tough.
It's okay.
I am not that tough.
Retired roller derby when you're in a walker or wheelchair.
There you go.
Wow.
That's right.
It's
never
low impact.
Okay, so what is your grievance with your boyfriend that is not here?
So he's not here, but I moved last Saturday, which moving sucks. We all know that. My boyfriend is very like Paris. He's not materialistic. He can, you know, drop anything and don't worry about it.
Take it to the dump is what my husband says a lot. And I'm like, donation bin. Take it to the donation bin.
And I'm not that way. There are certain items I hold on to. They have materialistic possessions to me. I love them. They remind me of great memories.
Same.
So We have this disagreement. We just moved. He wants me to get rid of a lot of my shit. We just moved into a house that is bigger than our last house. So I have more room.
You have more room for all your shit.
More room. Well, he has nothing, and we're able to furnish the house because I have everything.
Oh.
His one possession was the giant TV that he dropped a hammer on while hanging it.
No.
So
he's bringing nothing to the table.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what that's
because he did have a TV.
He dropped a hammer on a TV while hanging it.
See, my thing is he did it right before Prime Day. So,
fuck.
And now we're somehow getting a larger TV.
Interesting.
Interesting how because I'm also trying to think how you drop something that you're doing this with, and it falls on the thing you're doing that to.
And it happened when I was at work.
Gravity didn't work that way.
I was
usually
at work, so I couldn't witness any of
this.
Okay,
well,
it all allegedly happened.
You had to take him for his word. So.
Very convenient.
Right? So my biggest grievance, and he actually texted me to ask me if I was going to air this to all of y'all, and hell yeah, is do I need to give up my possessions because he is a minimalistic little baby.
It sounds like you'd be living in an empty house if you did that.
Right?
I have a question.
He doesn't have anything.
Possessions. Is this like vintage marionettes?
No.
Or like DVDs?
No. No. Or I don't want any haunted dolls.
Well, yeah, what are you keeping? We had somebody at the Boston show, their partner had wet specimens of like an octopus tentacle in a jar of formaldehyde. And if they could work it out, I bet you all could.
It's not that. I'm ADHD, so I have a lot of hobbies that, you know, I've loved for 3 weeks and given up. And I've given away a lot of the bulk material, but I have a little tiny collection of my hobbies. We have a second room now. Why do I need to give them away? You have a lot of instruments.
That's your hobby room.
Thank you. Can I tell them to fuck off?
Yeah, I think so. It's the best. It's the best for a relationship.
You can always tell them to fuck off.
Just get right in their face. Like, yeah. Fuck off. I went to a podcast show tonight. Fuck you.
Well, honestly, I do want
to
get his name on here.
I talked to my Texas murder girls, and they said to tell you to fuck off.
That's right,
and
Gavin.
She's like, guess what? Move your ass out. You got one duffel bag. That's all your shit fits in it. No, don't do all that.
You want me to get rid of my shit? Where are you going to sleep? Where are you going to sit? What TV are you going to watch? Because all right, that's one thing he can take. Is that
take
TV?
Your
it's broken.
Your
right now it's broken.
TV.
We haven't gotten the new one yet.
Oh shit! So he really has nothing. He's brought to the
table. So there's not. I mean,
I think
he did change the tire on. We've got a flat.
Does he want you to? Is there like certain stuff that he wants you to get rid of that like you haven't? Because my rule is usually, if I haven't touched it in a year, then I don't really need it.
I've already gone through once because we just moved. So I've already gone through and been like, I've used this, I haven't, and given away a lot.
That's a good step.
I have also been the same size for a very long time. So why do I need to get rid of clothes that I wear? I just rotate through them longer than more people.
Humble brag.
Yeah, right?
Damn. Second of all, congratulations.
We have
an entire storage unit because I have so many clothes that I can't fit into. And I'm like, one day. And we had to buy a storage unit to house these things.
I looked at some old Kitson jeans. You guys remember Kitson? Paris Hilton was really into it. Bought them at Ross on sale.
Nice.
Never fit into them once. And I recently gave them away. And I was like, I hope some tween finds these jeans. And they're like, vintage! But I looked at my ass, and I looked at those tiny jeans and thought, there's nothing wrong with my ass.
No.
It's the jeans.
I got rid of them. Yes. I saw this TikTok the other day of this very attractive young woman. And her shorts were a little tight, and then she, like, did a little shimmy, and then her shorts were loose. She's like,
I just look like I've dropped 20 pounds. How did I do it? And she was like, I bought a size up. And she, the whole thing was like, don't try to squeeze yourself into, because we all get so attached to these numbers. Like, dress for the body you have and celebrate that, because numbers are just numbers. So all that to say, if you can wear the same clothes you wore however many years ago, keep them.
Yeah, tell me.
You don't got to get rid of that. And that also, it's frugal.
Compromise. In this day, in this economy?
And that's all. First of all, if you ever start an argument with "in this economy," nobody can say anything after that.
No.
So you won right there.
You're all right. Good. So the Texas murder girl said, "Fuck you, Gavin.
Take your shit, put it in a box, the stuff that he's up in arms about, and on the inside flap, you write 'fuck off.' And that way, if he ever opens it, he'll know. He'll know."
I also, though, want to go on record. Fair, I love him very much.
To be fair, if you're not jacking with it, then you should get rid of it. So maybe just do a little test. And
Marie Kondo some stuff.
That fair.
I that. Did that. I read 75% of her book. And then I said, I got it. And I went through all my shit and got rid of a ton of stuff. And to this day, I'll be like, where are those fucking socks? Because I didn't finish her book. And I wasn't ready to release them. Into the wild. So
yeah.
Read her book, but finish it, and then you can get rid of a bunch of your shit. Donate it. Don't take it to the dump like Paris suggests.
He doesn't anymore. He takes things to the local charity shop, which I had to train him. He was like, when I was a kid, we just took our stuff to the dump. And I was like, well, I think a lot of us did in the 90s, and that's why we're here. So let's stop that. Let's don't do that anymore. Was the last 25% of the book? Like, where to put
I don't
the
know.
Socks?
I never read it.
Fuck it. Well, good luck. Know. Maybe the answer's there. Godspeed.
Yeah. Make a compromise. Keep like 80% of your stuff. Throw them a few bones. Get rid of a few tops or something you haven't worn
the
in like
ruffle
a year.
Stuff.
And also.
Ruffled?
Yeah. You know, ruffled 90s stuff.
It'll all come back, though.
Tying it back to our Mother's Day issue. There will come a day when something that you threw out, he'll want, and man, it's going to feel good. He'll be like, I wish we had a glue gun. You'll be like, I wish we did. Guess what
yesterday.
I used to have? A fucking glue gun. Now we have to buy another one. Not that this has happened in my house, but it has, for sure. So let me just say, chew on that for you get 5-6 years of joy out of that over just the one thing he told you to throw out that you needed. So be like, sure, pick whatever you want to get rid of. Write it all down, and then when the day comes, you strike.
Thank
final
you.
Ruling. Fucking strike.
There it is. Oh, thank you all so much. You've been such a wonderful audience. Let's get a pic before we leave. We got to do our pic and a video. Are you doing video or
pic? I'm going to do a video so it's all holler.
Okay,
all
right. Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Holler. Thank you.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, the Improv. They've been great to us, so please be great to them. Take care of your waitstaff tonight. If you're VIP, please stay seated. They will tell you what to do. If not, if this is the end of your night, we have loved. This is the last night of our tour. It's been
it's the end of the tour.
It's been a great tour. Yeah, it's been awesome. We got some fun stuff planned in the next
6 months a year.
6 months. Yeah, we'll probably see you again soon. Oh. But until then, what?
This is O-Town. Fuck yeah.
O-Town?
There was a band called O-Town. That's what was named for this, right? Yeah.
O-Town the band?
Oh,
what is the O-Town
All or
song?
Nothing is O-Town, right? What's the... Yeah, because I want it all.
Or nothing at all. Okay. All right. We would like to walk off to that song,
if you
please.
Have that.
All it's not, or Nothing at All by O-Town.
Whatever.
If you
cool.
have it. I don't know. I feel like you always have it teed up if you're the Orlando Improv.
That's right.
But
they're like, that's actually what we do for everybody. But thanks for asking.
Well, thank you all so much. As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you, thank you.
We love providing Sinisterhood to you at no cost, so if you like what you hear, consider supporting this show by donating to our Patreon. We're a small operation, creating the show for you by researching, writing, recording, and producing it ourselves. Any amount is sincerely appreciated and helps offset the cost of making and hosting the show.
As a thank you, you'll also get some sweet perks like ad-free episodes, a Sinisterhood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group for those in the Rolling the Airwaves and Getting Into It tier, special shout-out on the show, a monthly bonus minisode. In November, we covered the murders at the Brown Palace Hotel, which was a very dramatic murder case.
It's
where
like a Springer episode.
Yes, with like lust and revenge. And speaking of a very dramatic episode, the Murdoch case is heating up. There's been pretrial stuff coming out in the news media, so we are going to do a Murdoch update for our December minisode, so watch for that. We also provide you with patron-exclusive video and audio content. You get Am I the Asshole, Relationship Advice, Judge Christie, Dear Sinister, True Crime Headlines, and more. And the patrons in our Getting Into It tier are also able to vote on a bonus content segment each month they would like to see live streamed. It's going to be December 29th at 8 p.m. Central. You can currently save your spot, save the date, and then closer to the event, you still have time. You can sign up now, and then like about a week before the event, we're going to put up some options for you guys to vote on, so it's not too late. You can still sign up today.
What else do we have going on this month on our live stream, Heather?
Shut the front door. Everybody, somebody said, I can't wrap presents without this. It is our, which was so kind, it is our annual Hallmark After Dark movie roasting party. Christy and I, on our individual microphones, we are watching closely a Hallmark movie. We have the movie up. We are going to snark on the movie while you watch with us and also snark in the chat. Honestly, it's fun to do it, you and I. I mean, this is pretty much what we do when we watch movies. Mm-hmm. But it's even more fun because all of our patrons get in on the chat throwing out, you know, little riffs here and there, so we all get to riff together. If you've ever seen Master Pancake, Mystery Science Theater 3000, Riff Tracks, anything, it's very similar to that, but we pick a cheesy Hallmark movie. So if you go to patreon.com/sinisterhood, you can sign up Hallmark After Dark, December 13th, 8 p.m. Central, and then in the comments, you can drop your suggestion for what cheesy Hallmark movie you think that we should roast.
The one we did last year was because of a couple patrons suggesting it, and man, they delivered.
Oh man,
it
they
was
didn't
fantastic.
Let us down.
Well, speaking of more things you get on our Patreon, you get access to our Discord server where you can connect with other fans in real time and discuss the latest in true crime, share personal ghost stories, or just post adorable pictures of your pets. It is seriously a fantastic community. We also hop on occasionally, and we host monthly Q&As on Crowdcast where you can ask us all your burning questions. This month is December 28th at 8 p.m. Central.
So those are your three dates to remember. The 13th, the 28th, and the 29th, all at 8 p.m. Central. We'll make it easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for patrons not in the U.S., you also have the option of paying pounds or euros, saving you the cost of the conversion fee. And I can't think of a more generous gift than a gift that lasts all year long. Mm-hmm. And that is what an annual membership for all tiers are now available on our Patreon. You give that to somebody you love. You get, first of all, you're getting a deal because you get free month of membership. So you're paying for 11 months and you're giving them 12. And they get hundreds of hours of content. Mm-hmm. One gift, you know, people play with it here and there, look at it. This is something they could listen to all day, every day, and probably not run out of stuff. I don't know how many math. I don't know how many hours in there, but
if you're in a relationship and you're thinking, I really want this person to know that I'm committed, if you give them a gift that says basically, I'm assuming we are together at least for the next year, I think that's a pretty big commitment. And I would be on the receiving end think, oh, okay. Well, now I feel safe and secure and I get all this bonus content.
What we're doing is facilitating love, basically.
Well, for more details on all of this and specific member tiers, visit sinisterhood.com and click Patreon on the top banner. Make sure you stick around after our sign-offs to hear your shout-out.
So many of you have been tagging us in pictures of you sporting your sweet Sinisterhood merch. Keep those pictures coming. You know what you can't post a photo of yet is our all-new t-shirt design. We have a brand new logo tee. It's a black t-shirt with the podcast logo on the front. It's very slick design. We're very pleased with how it came out. And we put it up on our website on Monday the 5th for pre-order. You can go now at sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner. Boom, you'll see it right there. But beneath that, you'll also see beanies, hoodies, mugs, tote bags, and even clothes for your kiddos. So go to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. You can also share any episode by clicking the three dots in the top right corner and share topic-based playlists from Spotify by visiting sinisterhood.com/playlists. All of this means so much to us and really helps podcasts like us get more exposure.
I would like to say thank you to everybody who shared us, because on our Spotify Wrapped, it said that we were one of the top shared podcasts, and it
That's
was
amazing.
Via text message and link sharing. So it's exactly what this is. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you all so much.
Keep it up. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can also follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast. Christy, where are you at?
You can see my children putting up the Christmas tree and then just playing the same Christmas song on this toy, 150 times in a row. At Christy M. Wallace on Instagram, and I rarely post, but I frequently lurk on TikTok and Twitter at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I am on Twitter at MCK versus the world, and I am on TikTok and Instagram at Heather versus the world. I posted a picture of my husband shirtless, or a video of my husband shirtless on Instagram. Just
damn,
in case
with
you guys
his permission.
Oh yeah, he was part of it.
God, I haven't seen it. Is it sexual?
I mean, to some. He got a lot of fire emojis from it. So was he wearing a collar and cuffs like a Chippendales dancer? Certainly. Yes, he
was. Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Well, as always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Claire Stevenson.
Lexi.
Stephen and Shannon Joyce.
Gina Brannon.
Leanne.
I believe it's a different one, if I remember correctly. Caroline Black.
Alyssa Bailey.
Miranda Harmon.
Bonnie Ellis.
Shateria Turner.
Jan Christine.
Arden.
Pamela Martin.
Rhonda Daniels.
Jordan Rouse.
Thank you all so much for supporting this show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.